Now that I've let it touch my lips.
Yeah, I know.
Right before we went on air.
Yeah. I wish it was 5:30.
Yes, it is Eat Talk Live. No, I'm just kidding. It's Free Talk Live. FreeTalkLive.com. For those of you who aren't familiar with our program, you can find out all about us over there. We are a live call-in radio program where you can take control of the radio and talk about whatever's on your mind.
Like barbecue.
For example. let's see. Captain's Log, Stardate 04282024. In the studio tonight, it's myself. The authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC, joining me tonight.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Is your date even real?
Man, I hope so.
Mine was this morning.
Like, otherwise, that sock is crispy for nothing.
when I read this, I was like, what? And then I read it, and I was like, what? And so now I've brought it to here for the show tonight, because I'm still like, what?
And I've seen it. I've seen the blur, but I didn't know there was an article behind
there
it.
There is.
So now we have an article.
I didn't do any show prep, so.
That's all right. Richie Rich does more show prep than any man probably should.
I'll just be eating the burnt ends.
Yes, but try not to do that into the microphone, the chomp chomp.
No, like, I'm not.
Because it's bad radio. At any rate.
It's good burnt ends.
Yeah, we're spoiled, right? You know, we had bad service, but good food.
We got burned tonight.
It wasn't like, I mean, it took a long time for us to get our food, and then it never came, and then I had to leave, and then you guys brought it all to go or whatever. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll be honest, looking at the burnt ends, they don't even really look like good burnt ends.
No, they look like ribs.
They're not ends, and they're not burnt. They are, they're just smoked pork belly.
Right.
But they're calling them pork burnt ends for some reason.
Okay. Like, you would normally get the ends of that.
To be fair, for $10, it's a pretty big order. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you like ordering not, or if you like getting not what you ordered.
But those aren't burnt ends. Those are pork belly nibbles or whatever.
Something, yeah. Pork belly nuggets.
Yeah.
So they could call them, they could call it just an order of pork belly.
Yeah.
But they call them burnt ends, but they're not actually burnt ends.
Right.
I think they have to figure out their advert.
To be fair.
But you've gotten burnt ends in the past, right? Because you specifically asked for burnt ends once.
No, that's not true. The last time we asked for burnt ends, they brought us out what appeared to be just the end cut of brisket.
Okay.
Not necessarily just the burnt ends, right?
Okay.
So, to be fair, these guys are doing Carolina-style barbecue, and burnt ends is more of a Texas-style barbecue thing. So they just might not know.
Okay.
And we're in New Hampshire.
And we're in New Hampshire, so.
That says a lot about everything.
Yeah. We're lucky just to get this quality of barbecue here in Keene, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Much less get good service, apparently, according to the Richie Rich philosophy of service mediocrity.
Yeah. So, well, that extends to all of New Hampshire. That's part of the problem.
So can you just, for our listeners, what is this philosophy of mediocrity?
It's not a philosophy. I call it the culture of mediocrity.
Culture. Thank you. Not philosophy. Culture of mediocrity.
And it is and this is not only in restaurants, right? Like, when I first moved here over 5 years ago, there was a level of service that I expected when I go to establishments based on my experience in Hawaii.
Service. Okay.
And we would go to establishments and we would be provided with like zero service. Just the lowest.
In realm. Hawaii?
No, here.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
I mean, even tonight I said to the captain, like, should we help her out?
Right.
Do we all have to volunteer and bring out napkins and wet naps?
So I experienced this repeatedly at various establishments.
Not just one place.
Not just one place. And I went, it's got to be the culture here. You know, and we'd go on Yelp, you know, and check out restaurant reviews. Like, oh, let's just go try out this new place. It's got like 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, and my ex at the time, like, sent food back. I'm like, if they think this is 5 stars, like, imagine if they had something good. They wouldn't know how to handle themselves.
Right. Like, I would give more stars, but there's not enough.
Right.
Like, you know, I've labeled it the culture of mediocrity in New Hampshire, and it's my belief that the locals who have grown up here are just so accustomed to that level of service, right, that there's no expectation of anything better, so there's no demand for anything better, so they don't get any better service.
Yeah, and like,
that's a good way
that plays into like the you know, it's hard to find good help, right? Not many, you know, it's hard to even find help, much less good help.
Yes.
Right. So when you have to pick from you know, the people willing to have a job who either have no experience, don't know what service is, or yeah. you know, aren't able to actually perform service correctly, then you do get a culture of mediocrity.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's probably I'm lazy, right? Yeah. And I went, I'm a superstar here. Like, it's, I do so much more than the average New Hampshireite.
Right.
And I don't do much, like, compared to, like, the average, right. you know, service rep in Hawaii.
Right.
Like,
but this
there,
has to,
I'm
this
trash.
Has to be a nationwide issue, though.
No, no. I mean, no, because you go to Boston or anywhere in Massachusetts,
they're hustling.
Service picks right up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and coming out of Seattle, Washington, like, I mean, there are plenty of good places to eat and drink and have fun and all that kind yeah. of stuff. And, like, if you get bad service, that's it, right?
Yeah.
You just don't go there anymore. There's way too many places to choose from that do serve and serve well and,
right.
And all that
and
kind of thing.
And then word gets out. And that's it for the rest.
Well,
of
and then they do good business and expand their business and open more restaurants of the same.
No,
variety,
but the bad,
right?
the bad place.
But the bad place, right? They weed themselves survive. Out, right? Yeah,
yeah. Not here. They stick around. You know, there was, you know, one example was, we had to get a car rekeyed for something like the, you know, the car we bought didn't come with the second key, so,
right.
And this took months to get just a second spare key. Number
wow.
one, and even at the dealership, you know, they gave us the key. And we talked to the guy, and we went out, and the key didn't work.
So at like, the lot.
At the lot. And like 5 minutes later, wow. we walked back in, and we go, hey, it's like Paul here because the key doesn't work, you know? And they go, he's gone for the day.
2 p.m.
Well, whatever, you yeah. know, wow. even if it was quitting time, right? Yeah. Like, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Five, and they go,
and he's
okay.
the only guy who could do the key.
Or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, well, is there a manager here who can assist?
That's right. Paul.
And no, they're like, no, we don't have a manager right now. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. So I went home
wow.
and submitted an application for manager.
Yeah.
And in my little, like, you know, cover letter to it, I said, the service is so poor, you know, I could turn this place around overnight.
Yeah.
You know, dear director of HR.
Right.
You know, this is theoretically a customer complaint, but you're going to get it because I'm going to apply for the
job
of manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Because you don't have one and you clearly need one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so that was the tact I took at that time. But
did you get a call back?
No, of course not. Because I'm too
good
they don't
for need a manager. It's the mediocrity culture.
Right. Who the hell is this yeah. guy thinking he can manage a
we
thing don't. That we don't even have a manager for that
Why
we obviously
we need a
need
manager?
One.
But they, you know, they had the key or whatever, you know, to and the car, right, for however long they did. Didn't bother to test it before they gave us back the key.
Yeah.
And then left as soon as they did without making sure that everything worked.
Yeah, you got to test the thing. Like,
you should test the thing.
Right. Yeah,
that would be like average level service.
That's just like
right?
101.
Right. Right.
You would think,
yeah.
but in New Hampshire, everything is so well below that level, right? That's the culture is well below average. Yeah. The expectation is below because it's a culture of mediocrity.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've experienced something similar. I took my car into. Where I shouldn't, the dealership.
No, nah, that's where I'm going to end up taking mine.
And, like, to be fair, there was a recall on, and so I got some work done for free or whatever, but I was like, hey, while it's in here, I also have this problem on the, you know, right front wheel. There's some wobble in there. It's not a warped rotor because I've had that replaced, but, like, something's going on, tie rods, you know, tension rods, something. Mm-hmm. You know, something's going on up there. And, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we replaced a thing, one of the tie rods or whatever, and you're good to go. I'm like, oh, okay. And I get in the car, and I drive away, like, nope, still there. So, yeah, what they didn't do was get in the car and drive it around
test it. Right.
Yeah.
Right. They saw something that they thought might be broken or worn out or rusted or whatever, and they were
yep.
like, oh, it must be this, right? They put the tire back on. They do the thing where they put their hands on the tire to like, oh, yep, feels solid. And then yep. they brought it down off the rack, parked it in the lot, and were like, yep, it's good to go now.
Yep.
But no, they didn't test it.
So as I told you at dinner, like I'm on my third engine of my car right now.
Ooh.
And I got to take it in for some service because on the way over here, the check engine light came
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
But there was one time, you know, like I have the ODB sensor on my own. Yep. And I go like, the ODB sensor is showing this.
What's an ODB sensor?
I don't know what it stands for.
Onboard.
Is it a little thing you plug into your car yeah. and tells you what the problem is?
It is, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they have better sensors
right.
at the dealership, but I've got the cheap one off yeah. of Amazon for $12.
Right.
Right, so I can clear it and turn on cruise control.
Yep.
Anyway, so I look, you know, it gives me the problem, and you Google it, right? Because that's what individuals do.
Go to YouTube.
And it goes like, well, this is the fix that you should try first before you try everything else.
Right.
And so I take it to the dealership and go like, I'm getting this error message, you know, see what's wrong. And this was like a back and forth for a couple of weeks, right? But the one thing they didn't do in a couple of weeks is the one thing that Google said to do first, right? Was check the spark plugs and the spark board wires.
Oh,
right? He's like, well, it could be a brake. So we went ahead and did a $2,000 brake job. So we're going to bill you for that.
But it's a spark plug.
But it could have been. I don't, it turned out not to be the spark plug because they sent it off. You know,
they farmed it out.
Farmed it out to another dealership, you know, that specialized in this, and they did that first. And went, well, that's not it. Well, at least you checked the first box, right? Mm-hmm. The one thing that it's most likely going to be, this shop didn't do at all, and like ran up $2,000 of repairs that might be the problem, but had nothing to do with it.
So OBD stands for onboard diagnostics.
Okay,
OBD onboard diagnostics.
Whatever.
That's a little computer thing you plug in, it'll tell you what the check engine.
Sometimes it's a handheld device. They have things now that you can plug in. It's an app on your phone that'll tell Bluetooth you, one. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Those are expensive. Like I said,
$12.
I don't know how to read it, right? Like it says what it says, you know.
Take
I don't know
the
what
dealer,
it means.
Yeah. You guys are the experts.
It's more like for me, it's more, you know, if it's really bad, like I'm not going to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if it's something that, well, you know, you should probably get this checked, right? Then I'll, you know.
Right.
And I think, this one, like the car started when I left the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
It didn't drive very smoothly at all over here.
But you were here.
But I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And before me.
And I'm thinking, well, because I left before you and you waited for the food.
Yeah.
And I think I can get back to Manchester, where the dealership where I have the warranty for the engine is.
Right, yeah.
So that's
A spare car.
What you should do is you should just drive that to the dealership, park it right in front of the door so they can't get into the place. Block them from
I don't know about that.
Well, the last time I had to have the engine replaced with them, I was also on my way here to the studio and got stalled on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And AAA towed it to the dealership, and I made the phone call and said, hey, I dropped the car off because it's not moving.
Yeah.
Right. So, but this time it's moving. I'm going to try to get home tonight, and we'll
move
see.
Move it back to the dealership. Right.
Get it back to the dealership sometime this week, because if I can get it home, you know, theoretically I can get it another half a mile or 2 miles to the dealership.
Hmm.
You know.
Okay.
But I'm also, like, fully aware of the level of service I got from the low personnel there. So now I have like the service manager's direct number, and he's like, just go through me.
Unless they're like the dealership that I went to closer to here, where apparently they go through Service Manager of the Month Club. So these service managers in the dealerships are commissioned people.
Because they're only there for a month.
and what their job is, of course, to upsell on everything that comes in for service.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if they don't do X amount of business on top of whatever the norm is, you know, on a per ticket basis, they lose their job.
Okay.
Really?
So this is called
service writing.
The one caveat I will say, I've never met the guy in person.
Okay.
So I have his phone number.
Yep.
He takes my call. Sounds like the same guy when he returns my call. I've had his number for a couple of years now, and he returns it.
Unless they're rotating
sales managers under like the same pseudonym.
Right.
Right, I'm pretty sure I'm talking to the right guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good sign.
Okay.
Right? If it's been the same guy for some number of years, that's a good sign. That means he generally knows what he's doing and has performed at least adequately according to their own corporate standards.
Right, and I haven't had any overt issues since I've been dealing with him directly. Like, I take it in for the regular maintenance. If something's wrong, I take it back.
You know,
I feel that I have been treated fairly since only dealing with him.
Okay, all right, good enough. I mean, that's something you want to hang on
to. They're pricey, but that's where the warranty is, man. Like, I can't get away from that at the moment.
Yeah, right? Well, and like, apparently, at least around here, when it comes to service, like, the most expensive places have the best service.
Okay.
That seems like it's logical, right? Oh, the more expensive the place, the better the service is going to be, but that's not always the case, right? So I only say that because, like, the more expensive restaurants around here, like, I found the service to be better than, like, you know, the average restaurant.
But you're paying for service, not for the food quality.
Yeah.
So it appears.
Yeah.
I will say just the price of labor is getting out of control, though.
Right.
It's like, okay, we charge $140 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, and New Hampshire
and
only
this is like a $20 part.
Yeah, right. New Hampshire follows the federal minimum wage.
Yeah.
Not a state minimum wage.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but very, very few people in New Hampshire actually work
for
minimum
wage. No one
works
for minimum wage.
Right. Yeah. Like it's
McDonald's starts at $16.50.
Right. Yeah. So to say that they follow it is like, I mean, it exists, right? But like New Hampshire is way above that.
It's proof that it's unnecessary.
Right. Yeah. Right. It should be zero.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of these minimum wage is tied to union contracts for teachers' unions and labor unions. So the higher they can get the minimum wage, the higher they can renegotiate these contracts for union employees.
Yeah, unions are weird, man. Yeah. Like, when I was growing up, I was like, yeah, unions are, they're great, they're cool. You know what I mean? And then I worked for one. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
Where'd my money go in my paycheck?
Like, wait, I'm already paying taxes, and then like, oh, these dues are voluntary, but like I have to pay them?
It's another set of government.
Voluntary?
Yeah, it's another set of government.
I don't understand how it's voluntary, but yet I have to pay them.
Unions should be optional and should not have the force of the state.
Right.
But I'm in favor of the idea of collective bargaining.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But unions like lobbied the state for state intervention.
I get it.
Right.
Which is the dumbest thing they ever did.
Right. And that's why they tie the minimum wage to union contracts.
Yeah.
So again, it's a revolving door of, you know, raise the minimum wage so we can get our wages higher.
The concept is proper. The execution when they get tied into the state is
demented.
Yep.
Hey, let's go to calls right away. We have Gigi calling. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live.
I am so glad I'm speaking to you, Captain. I haven't heard your handsome voice for a long time.
I need some love music. I'm going to put AI on it.
We need more than
Captain knows
music.
What I'm talking about. I'm putting AI on this.
We need candlelight.
The Gigi and Captain Love song as soon as I get bored at work on Monday.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to speak to everyone. I hope everyone listening to this evening's show will really pay attention to my comment. This is just my opinion.
Well, you beat the first story.
Opinion.
You beat the first
it
story.
It is actually to compliment every Free Talk Live program all over the United States, because my husband and I were listening last night on TV to President Biden's response at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He picked up his glass. He said, let us make a toast to the free press and to free speech. I looked at my husband and I said, you got it, President Biden. Whatever your political perspective is, I was proud to hear him say that. And I want to compliment Free Talk Live, because many times I have an opinion. Richie doesn't agree. The captain doesn't agree. Other hosts don't agree. Or callers call in and I think, what are they saying? That's crazy. But you know what? We are all expressing our opinions, and it's wonderful. And I am proud of this program, and I value that.
I'm glad you do. I wish more people felt the way that you do, Gigi.
It is imperative.
And if you find you're disagreeing with me a lot, start checking your premises.
He's always right.
Start checking my what?
Premises.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that in a bitchy way.
Richie, I meant it in a joking way.
Richie just firmly believes that he is always right.
Always right.
Really,
most of the time. Like, you'll win money on Vegas by betting.
I feel very strongly about free exercise of speech.
Yes,
and
we do too.
You know, it could be holding up a sign, printed on a T-shirt, printed on a pamphlet, printed in a newspaper, a caller calling in with an opinion, or a host expressing an opinion.
What if it's
and
racist?
Whether I find it offensive, ridiculous, or yeah, right on, I agree with you. I love that opportunity, because lots of countries do not have that forum available.
I have a question for you, Gigi.
Yes,
and
sir.
I've looked at this myself, and you know, I believe that legally speaking, I know the answer to this question, but I don't really know. I'm not an attorney, and whatever your answer is, you know, we're not going to like hold you to it, you know, professionally or anything. But do you think that software code is free speech?
Not at all.
Why not?
Because I feel that it puts barriers and limitations.
So if I'm a developer and I'm typing in, you know, a bunch of characters and numbers and I'm creating software code and that code just sort of
Your copyright for your intellectual property will protect you.
Oh.
So this is where we differ. Okay.
Status protection.
Yeah, so like I don't believe it, like intellectual property I believe is a farce. It's something the state designed to sort of make people jump through
to
extra
generate
hoops.
Revenue.
Yes. Yes.
But at the same time, I don't want somebody abusing your creative intellectual property.
So the problem with intellectual property is it prevents people from doing what they want with their real property because of someone else's intellectual property.
Why right. should I benefit financially or any other way if I copycat Richie's creative processes?
Because you're a better marketer. Because you're a better marketer.
I am actually
consumers
a good
might
marketer.
Benefit because you doing it instead of me with the protection means you might be able to lower the cost and barriers to entry.
Coming from an academic background and a legal background, that's why the important element of research and publishing, whether it was academic or legal, cite the footnote and cite the case because you are using it in your favor, but giving credit to the intellectual creator.
There we go.
Sure, but that's not true for a lot of intellectual property.
Gigi, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate
you. You're welcome.
Feel free to call us again, of course, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. Coming up, is your date even real? Plus, the number two story. Plus more on deck here at Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Partially full belly.
Back. Pork belly.
Pork belly in my belly. Yum, yum,
get
yum.
In my belly.
We normally we eat before the show instead of trying to stuff our faces in 4 minutes during one of the breaks, but
I failed.
Yeah.
We'll use up some of the next break.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
If someone can recommend a restaurant for next Sunday. In Keene.
The telephone number here, if you'd like to join us tonight, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich. As long as there's not like a crypto goldback connection yet, right, then any other restaurant can vie for the business.
Right.
And then we'll just get them on the goldback crypto connection.
Hopefully.
And like...
That's why... PKG or right. Funky Noodle lasted so long.
Right.
Yeah, well, We're open during COVID, and we'll take your currency.
No mask right. needed. Just come on in.
And the service was great.
Oh, the service yes. was outstanding.
You know, that guy Chris, and then Malaise, of course. They yep. were both yep. on it. They knew how to treat us. They treated us as if we were special because, well, we were. We bring a group of anywhere between 6 and 25 people, depending on the Sunday.
On a Sunday
yeah.
night.
Yeah. And so they were like, nope, you know, we got you. We're going to take care of you.
Right Chris, up until the very end.
Right. And Chris always knew, like, hey, Steve, here's your cider. Here's, like, your, yep. the same yep. thing. He always knew that.
Yeah. It got to a point where, like, I could just walk in and they just bring me my beverage. They right. just knew. So
now, I don't know this, but I'm going to presume now, based on what I've said, that he's not from around here. Do we know if he was a local or if he...
I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because that's exceptional service for a local.
He certainly didn't
Malaise
have...
Malaise was not.
Yeah, right. Malaise was not. She was from a foreign country.
Even more
right?
so.
So, right. like, yeah. And then, like some of the people that, like, came and went, like, I'd hear from them later, bump into them, you know, out at a bar or something. And be like, so what happened to you at the restaurant? How come you're not there anymore? Oh, well, you know, the owner's a bit of a slave driver. She demands that we do things
we
her way.
We have to work.
And so that to me, yeah, that to me was like, oh, so you were incapable of performing service at a level that she wanted for her restaurant. And like, okay, that explains right. why you're not there anymore.
And it explains why, you know, her restaurant was so good yeah. for so long.
Yeah. Right. So what if... You went online on one of these dating apps, as I guess that's just how people date now. I guess people don't meet people in social situations and ask them out. I guess they all just do it on the apps.
Not at our restaurant.
But let's just say you went on one of these apps.
Culture of mediocrity.
You went on one of these apps. You matched with somebody.
You like, matched with someone in Boston.
And you're like, hey, let's go out to a restaurant. Let's go out to eat. And they're like, yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? And you go, I want to go to this restaurant. You're like, okay, meet me there on Tuesday at 7 p.m. I don't know why. I'm just picking a day.
Sure.
Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Taco Tuesday.
And so you go, and they never show up. You get stood up.
Oh, it happens.
Right? Well, what do you do?
Order food.
I guess I'll get a cocktail or
order
some food.
You're hungry. You're expecting dinner.
Right.
But if you're in Keene, don't try to pick up the waitress because it'll just be mediocrity.
Probably couldn't lift her anyway.
This from boardpanda.com. Woman gets stood up on a date, finds out the restaurant tricked her into eating dinner alone.
Tricked her?
That's okay. That is so clever. I'm inspired.
What is this trick?
It is clever, but like I'm going to question the...
I don't know, morality.
But like those types of things are what I want to question about this situation.
This is what people are talking about when they're complaining about capitalism.
I think we were tricked tonight. Like if your food doesn't come out, would you like another drink? And they'll rack up your drink points.
Well,
maybe. I don't know.
At any rate, this article says, participating in the dating scene is already hard enough, and still businesses keep finding ways to make it even worse. For instance, this restaurant came up with a catfishing scheme, their words, not mine, to get people to come to eat at their establishments, which many people fell for. Now they are starting to talk about it on the internet, and we all know that when the internet is infuriated, it's not good news for the target of it.
Who's the brains behind this? Was it like the owner of the restaurant? Was it a server trying to rack up tips? Was it the chef?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What's the scam?
There's a quote here that says, I was just stood up on a date, and it was the most humiliating experience ever. Story time. So the quote is from this particular person. Met this guy on a dating app. He immediately asked me to go out on a date to a specific restaurant.
Oh.
He confirmed his day off. I get to the restaurant and see that he's nowhere to be found, so I reached out. No response. I checked the app and noticed that he had unmatched me.
Ooh.
At that point, I was a little confused.
Ghosted.
Right? Yeah. At that point, I was a little confused, and I was kind of PO'd.
Ooh.
Because I was already dressed, and I got all the way there. And because I had put in so much effort, I thought, well, I might as well have a meal while I'm in the building.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got home, and I was scrolling Facebook, and I saw a very similar story from a girl, that same restaurant, who also got stood up.
She put two and two together.
She found out that there are restaurants now posing as people on dating apps just so you go to their business.
Wow.
And then once you get stood up, they know that probably 9 times out of 10, you're just going to buy something from them. And that just blew my mind, the fact that people have stooped this low.
Or a drink, as you said, Steve. Right. Right? Like,
just have a cocktail until your date arrives.
And you're already depressed because they stood you up.
Would you like another one until your date arrives? Would you like another one? Well, you might as well just stay here and eat.
That's tier two, right? That's them responding, going like, hey, I'm running a little late. I'll be there in like a half
an
hour.
Buy a drink. I'll pick up the first drink.
Right.
Pick up the second one. Oh, man.
You've got like a...
There's the ship in the back like...
No, you've just got a room in the
social
back.
Social media manager.
Yeah, you've just got a room in the back with your social media person or persons.
You don't even need that. You can farm this out to Furners.
Oh.
Get the Indians on.
Oh, come on. You'd probably want to be there. Like, oh, look, there's the girl from the dating
AI.
App.
AI.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you're chatting with her while she's at the bar. Well, have a drink. I'll buy it.
There's already people that, I don't know if we talked about it.
Twisted.
When I was here. But, like, there's already people who use AI to respond to their boyfriend or girlfriend via text.
Yep.
So, you know, AI. If I'm dating a new girl and she sends me a text, I copy that, put it into AI, and go, what should my response be as the boyfriend?
Really?
AI goes, your response should be this, and you copy and paste that and send it back to us so that you don't have to actually do any of the work.
Oh, there's a video of a dude doing this, but he's like crowdsourcing with all his friends in the room. Like, what do I say back to her? And their brains, they're like, they had the whiteboard and everything on all the conversations. It's awesome. Guys are dumb.
Guys are dumb.
But I will say this. I will jump in real quick before you move on. With this, you know, the cynical side of me says there are some chicks that deserve this.
Oh.
Right? Because they will go on the date just for the meal.
Yep.
And they're on their phone the whole time. Yep. And they're not respecting the date, you know, situation.
No, I know a girl
that's...
They're
just there for the food.
Oh.
And then, bam, you get her with this.
I know
and
a girl.
She gets a
payback.
I know a girl who was going to Washington State University, and
where's that?
In Washington State.
Yeah,
thank you. good question, though.
Keep that up.
You're brilliant with the Inquisition.
MSNBC level journalism.
I don't know if it's there.
All right, CNN. Okay.
All right, that's fine. That's good. But like, her parents paid for her room. Right. But she was supposed to get a job and like feed herself and all that kind of stuff. And she was like, why do I need to get a job when I could just go on this dating app and get fed 5 times a week by going out on dates?
Oh, wow.
You know, so she would literally go out on dates, eat, you know,
buy extra and like, take it.
Eat half.
Get a doggy bag.
Take it home. Right. Take it home. Eat again the next day or whatever. Right.
Wow.
You know, and she claimed to be going out 5 times a week.
I mean, she could do like, hey, you want to do a breakfast thing before, you know, go get some breakfast, lunch.
Line them up three a day.
If I was a chick, I'd totally be in on that scam, though. Like, that is right up my alley.
You're not a chick?
No.
Damn.
What gave it away, the beard or the long hair?
Yes. And the deep voice.
Okay. You never can tell these days.
I wasn't assuming your gender.
Okay.
Gender neutral.
I was assuming your ability to speak into a microphone. I've got that one right.
Okay.
Apparently. So they've got a
assigned male at birth. For
so
those.
Where is this? Where is this restaurant? Did they say?
I don't.
Where this is taking place?
New York City.
Probably New York City, I would imagine.
Yeah.
What's the website it's from?
Boardpanda.com.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
They have some, you know, screenshots with you know, people commenting on this. One comment says, "There's a reason she's single at her old age."
See, they were mean.
But then, I haven't paid for food in years.
And then a response.
That's why I worked in restaurants.
A response of like, don't waste your time with this one, ladies. He'll confirm a date and not show up. First time, thought it was a valid excuse, but I'm 99% sure he sent me a photo of a car accident from online saying that's what happened. So gave a second chance, stood up after committing to plans, and then he went radio silent.
Do you remember the website Hot or Not?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted a dating website where there was feedback included, right? So you kind of knew who you were going out with, like eBay style even.
Oh. Right.
Right. Like leave a review
a
of
plus,
your date.
Right. A plus, took me to a fancy restaurant, would totally go out with again.
Right.
Right. And then if he's, you know, if he's a D-bag or she's
didn't
just money,
up.
You know, a gold digger, right?
Right.
Then you leave her the negative feedback, right. You know, gold digger, don't bother. One star.
Right.
Was on her phone the whole time. And then, you know, next dude comes along, goes like, all right, I'm falling for that.
Yelp for dating.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow. That'd be pretty good.
Never took off. If you want to write that site for me.
Some of the other comments are sirens, jail time, jail for all the people at the restaurants thinking they're marketing geniuses.
They are. They're absolutely marketing geniuses.
If you fell for it, you're...
they're evil geniuses. Yeah.
This one says, you are not a genius. No girl boss town. You're just ruining a girl's mental self-esteem. I can't even believe. I'm going to insert the screenshots below so you can see what a wild ride, right? So, let's see. It says, apparently there are restaurants creating bots on dating apps, having dates show up, and there's really no person, and then you'll end up getting a drink or eating at the place. I think it's quite genius, but rude.
Yes.
Someone else says, it might have been a catfish. I've heard too many stories to think otherwise. Apparently somebody made a video about it.
Let me throw another thing out there while you read the... Right, there's nothing stopping them from doing this to guys, too.
Oh, I would be certain it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so,
who cares?
You know, or the guy just has probably been so accustomed to it, didn't even think that he was getting catfished.
Stood up again.
Stood up again.
Yeah. Eat dinner at the bar and rack up $100.
Right. Well, so, it looks like they might have good food here. I guess I'll order something.
Right. Right. So know. I wonder, you know, level playing field. It's probably not only chicks that they're going
It's out. Probably guy heavy where they have to go out, meet the girl, and buy the dinner.
Right. This video that they feature here was posted by a TikTok user who goes by Taylor. On her account, the creator posts various videos, usually relating to life in general. She's got 22,000 followers and over 5 million likes. In the video, Taylor told a story about how a restaurant orchestrated a fake date to get her to their establishment. She also said she read a story about another woman falling victim to the same trick, and we found out that there are even more victims of this trick out there. The restaurants that take part in this scam are called food diggers.
Nice. Portmanteau.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin's got to get behind that.
Except they've got it as two words.
Oh,
but yeah. Okay. You know me.
So do you think the AI, they don't put the restaurant in their profile information? Like, my favorite restaurant is this.
No, it's hey, do you want to go out to dinner on Tuesday night?
I like this particular restaurant. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all an AI chat.
Hey, let's go out. I know a great place. It's Steve Classic Grill.
They get the classic
burger.
Can
you meet me there at 7? Right? And she's great. It's a date, right? You go, you show up at 7, no one else shows up.
And then you get another text, I'm like 20 minutes behind, just order a drink.
You find out that they've unmatched you.
Ghosted.
Right, on the app, ghosted, right, whatever. They're not responding, right?
That's crazy.
And like moved on to, you know, the next victim, supposedly.
And they're all the girls are showing up at 7 o'clock to see.
He found a match that will put out earlier in the afternoon.
There's like 12 girls at the bar. They all, I got stood up by this guy. That's the same guy I got stood up by.
No, that's a thing on Facebook, too. Are you dating my boyfriend or something?
Really?
Yeah. There's like groups for chicks like that on Facebook.
You could verify whether
or not. Are we dating the same guy?
Yeah. There's places you can go to find out, like, are they married? You know what I mean? Because there's both men and women out there who will date other people while they're married. And. Yeah.
I must
be over
50.
Their situation is. Well, you are.
I've been with them.
What's that website again?
Ashley Madison.
So these restaurants take part in a scam. They're being called food diggers, which is a pun on the phrase gold digger.
She ain't nothing but a food digger.
Gold back digger.
These establishments tend to partner with bot apps. And these partnerships let them create bots on dating apps to lure people to their restaurants. Their people, just like Taylor, get stood up and so order food on their own. Essentially, these restaurants are exploiting people who are looking for love and or fun. However, the food digger term can also be applied to other kinds of opportunists.
Crypto diggers.
People who go on dates with new people just to get the free meal we mentioned.
Yeah, it's Richie.
Also be called a food digger. In this case, the term directly correlates with the term gold digger because people go on dates not because they like a person, but just because they want to get something from them, in this case, food. But today's topic is not about them. It's about food digging restaurants that lure people with catfishing tactics. Let's see. Neatson's first. I don't know who Neatson is.
Is that the restaurant?
Maybe. Neatson's first heard about the restaurant food digging phenomenon when people from India started posting online that it was happening in their country. So it's not just a U.S. thing.
Okay.
And the number of people...
Want to go get some Indian food?
Let's go. We could probably get it quicker than our food tonight.
And the number of people who shared that they were victims of this scheme started to grow. Just think about how many more people were scammed and either didn't realize it or didn't share it online. I mean, of course, right? You know, as a dude, sometimes you get turned down. Sometimes you get stood up, right?
Yep.
You know, and like, it is
right,
what it is.
You're not going to tweet about that.
It's part of the thing, right? You're just like, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be.
It's like part of dating in general. You're not going to be compatible with everybody.
Right. And like the same thing occurs in sales. You're going to get a lot of no's until you get a yes. Mm-hmm. And you make that first sale, right? You know, or the second sale or whatever it is.
So I prefer good etiquette. Like, why? Right? Was it something I said?
I don't
Did
even
you meet somebody else.
I don't even care, but just be like, hey, sorry for the late notice. I'm canceling.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I'm unmatched. Oh, okay. Change their mind. Right. Whatever. Fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Move on. As long as there's like a courtesy communication, that's all I really care about, you know? Due to these restaurants' scammy tactics, some people worry that dating apps are no longer a good place to meet people. Now,
they haven't been for a long time.
I contend that they never were in the first place.
Okay.
I'm old enough to remember when dating apps first came out and started. They weren't even called apps yet. They were dating websites.
Yes.
And people used to get ridiculed.
Yes.
Right? Frequently for using these places and services.
Can't find a chick at a bar, loser.
Right.
Gotta go
online.
You
don't want to find a chick at a bar.
Like okay, other people will join a church, right?
To
find somebody,
organization,
you know, with their same sort of, you know, morals, ethics, or whatever.
The church was the first app.
Kind of, yeah. There are, you know, community centers, you could volunteer. There's all sorts of ways that you can go about meeting people and finding someone that, you know, matches with you and whatever that means to you. But like these apps were manufactured, and in fact, I know somebody who worked for a company. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, and even if I did, I don't want to give them any real like press. But they were a dating company that they catered to people who had been using the websites and had no luck.
Okay.
And so they would charge them anywhere,
like a consultant.
Anywhere between $500 and $5,000.
Wow.
To match them.
And meet me at this restaurant. We'll talk about it.
And they would do this. They would have these,
to match them.
We'll call it mini dates, coffee dates, right? So not like a full thing.
Speed
dates.
Speed dating.
Not quite speed dating. A little longer than that. Like a 15-minute, like, hey, let's grab coffee at the coffee shop or, you know, that kind of a thing. And so what they would do, though, is they would hire, as employees, they would hire very attractive people. And they would send their employees out on these dates as a first date or a second date.
Yep.
They're basically making it seem as if the person was more attractive than they actually were within their system. So they would be like, hey, congratulations, you've matched with 6 people. We've rated them in this order. You're going out with, like if it's a girl, Joan, you're going out with Dave tomorrow night. Right?
And it was an employee.
And Dave would be an employee of the company.
Chiseled.
Square
jaw.
Yeah, just
six pack.
And his job is just to be like, yeah, you know, I met her, we had a good time, but we just weren't a match. Right? And then it would keep that person like, well, you know, that guy
another
was
$500,
nice, you know?
We'll find you another.
Right, and so this was how so they would, I don't know what the right term is, they would sort of stack the deck, you know, with these not, I mean, they would, of course, match you with somebody who was in their system that was not an employee, but they used the employees of the company to sort of fake more interest, more dates, keep you paying, right, than was necessary.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I will also, I mean, there's no, I don't have empirical data for this, but it seems like when the casual encounters section of Craigslist went away and Backpage got raided, a lot of those services moved on to the dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're like, they're overrun with prostitutes and OnlyFans models as opposed to legitimate prospects to date.
Right.
It's a money-making deal.
It is now.
It is, yeah, yeah. So these restaurants employing these scammy tactics, so some people worry that dating apps are no longer a good place to meet people. Being stood up on a date can damage a person's self-esteem as it feels humiliating. There's always a risk of meeting a shady person from a dating app. But now there's also a risk of becoming a victim of a restaurant scheme. And when there are too many risks, the desire to use the app might notably decline.
Yep.
Coming back to the comments under the original video, let's just say that a lot of people there demanded to know the name of the restaurant.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And for good reason, people don't want to contribute to such manipulative businesses. Others, just as we discussed, fear that it's time to go off the apps because it seems that everyone is coming up with new ways to trick people there.
I caught a scammer once because, like, you know, got the information or whatever, and I hit the video call button just to check in, and the dude in India, like, answered the call. He's, like, sitting there on his little hut with all his monitors. I'm like, ah, busted. I gotcha, Haji.
Green, green goes the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it.
I pink it up.
Some people even shared that the same thing had happened to them, meaning that they, like, went on these apps and agreed to a date, and then they got stood up, and so they bought something at one of these restaurants. Lastly,
if he's not asking you to Netflix and chill, is it really a human being?
But, you know, if they're saying, like, go to this restaurant, and it's a popular restaurant, you think a popular restaurant would put themselves in a situation like that? If it's already popular, why do you have to keep scamming people?
Right. The popular restaurants probably don't need to do
that. They don't need to do that.
Because they're already popular. If you do good business, you have good service, you have a good product.
But an up-and-coming restaurant.
An up-and-coming restaurant,
right.
Yeah.
Pop-up restaurants. Sure. Right?
Oh, I hate those. Kind of,
I do, too, but they exist. And like that
food truck?
Be,
hey, we'll meet you at the food truck.
You know?
The pop-up or the, what's the other one? The kitchen-only restaurants?
Oh,
are you familiar with this?
Yeah, the ghost kitchens.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah. You know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Tell us.
So, So the ghost.
I'm not the only one who doesn't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
The ghost kitchen is, they come up with a brand, and they put that brand on, like, Grubhub or the DoorDash sites to order food. But the restaurant doesn't exist anywhere.
Oh, you can't go to the restaurant.
You can't go to the restaurant. Right. It's just like a kitchen that cooks
delivery
that food
only
for that app, and but does it for multiple brands.
Right.
On the app.
Oh,
so
wow.
Take like PKG when it was open.
Yeah.
They would close at 9, 10 o'clock p.m. Mm. Let's say you wanted to have a late night only food business that was on like Uber Eats, Grubhub, that type of stuff. Delivery,
but the restaurant's closed.
But the restaurant's closed. But you agree to lease the restaurant during their off hours. Right. So now you have a fully accredited kitchen, right? That's
right.
Passed whatever, you know,
right.
It needs to pass.
Health department,
all that crap. Now you have a legit kitchen with which to prep and cook your food for these deliveries. The delivery driver, you give them an address, they show up, right?
Yeah,
and they don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I'm here for the, and you got your own branded bags to put the food in that's
right.
Different from the restaurant. You've leased the restaurant space. It's an inexpensive way to start up a restaurant.
Because someone else is leasing your kitchen,
right?
In
but
your
you're
off hours.
Like if you're the owner, you're leasing somebody else's kitchen that's already passed all of the things it needs to. You're
it's
just
like a factory running all three.
Oh,
shifts.
And then if like oh everyone's getting this delivery, it's such a great place. We're opening a real place,
right? Yeah. Lastly, I guess a few folks have decided to share their ideas of how people should handle these situations, and we'll post a link to this story, of course, on all of our social medias for you to have a look at. 603-283-6160. Have you been catfished on a dating app and ended up eating solo at a restaurant and then discovered that you've been tricked? Give us a call. It's Free Talk Live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live is now underway.
Bundaware.
Some kind of wonder bra, yes it is. It's one of those, this guy Robert was like, hey, I got an idea for a parody. I'm like, okay, go. And he goes, some kind of wonder bra. And then boom. He just stops. And I'm like,
you can fill in
what
the
else
rest.
You got?
I'm like, where's the rest of it? I thought you had an idea. He's like, well, that's it. I'm like, that's not an idea. That's one
the title.
Phrase. That's the title of the thing. Where's come back to me when you've
give
written
me a
the
verse.
Rest of it, right?
Give me
now he can just use AI.
Yeah.
I mean, he can at least give you the rest of the chorus.
I wonder if AI could be used for parody purposes.
You probably got to check the licensing.
If I could go grab like the lyrics of some famous song and say, hey, AI, rewrite these lyrics humorously, right? But in the same, musical background as this song, go. And if it would, if AI is capable of being Weird AI Yankovic.
Weird AI.
That's awesome. Even he would appreciate that.
I think so. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Spelled O-R-G.
Is that how you spell org?
Well, I don't know. I don't even think org is a word, but...
Well, it is now, right? I mean,
org.
Doesn't the fact that people use it as a word make it a word? That's how the English language works, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's short for something.
Organization.
Yes.
Yeah. What's .com?
Short commercial.
.gov.
I don't know if it's the barbecue now or what you just said.
But... Yeah, I'm feeling a little queasy myself.
Yeah.
Gotta go to the restaurant.
Why would you do that?
Speaking of queasy... Let's move on to our number two story.
Number two.
You remember the old radio station? They'd do like the top 10 or top five at 5 or 10 p.m. or whatever.
Number two.
And they'd always have like some, real deep voice. Number two. All right, here's the number two song tonight, right? Number four. Right?
Number two.
It's our number two story. This from ManchesterEveningNews.co.uk.
Ooh.
That's all. What does that stand for? .co.uk.
Commercial Britain.
Co?
Yeah, it's commercial in United Uck. Kingdom.
Okay.
Co-uck. Mum, I think they mean mom. Mum pulls out a samurai sword.
Whoa!
After Roe. Argument, perhaps?
After Roe.
British,
right. After Roe with neighbors over dog poo escalates wildly out of control.
Clearly.
I guess so, with a samurai sword. Jeez.
I shall cut the poo in half.
Is that a picture of the mum? Was that the picture of the mum?
Yeah, samurai sword is just a big poop knife, right?
Yeah.
If you've had too much number two.
A mum tried to scare off her neighbors with a samurai sword after a brawl erupted.
Wow.
In a row over dog poo.
This is what happens when you don't have guns. Everyone just pulls out the knives and the samurai swords.
What else are they going to pull out? Baseball bat.
Nope.
Dog poo. Tennis racket.
Flaming bag of dog poo.
Hockey stick, right?
Just the Casey Jones now. Yeah.
Hi-Li, whatever the...
Oh, I love Hi-Li.
Yeah, whatever
Sesta. Is that what it's called?
Sesta, yeah.
Sesta. Okay. Yeah. Well, we learn something new every day.
Sesta.
Thank you for being educated in Hi-Li.
Yes, there used to be a Hi-Li in Milford, Connecticut and Hartford, Connecticut.
That's cool. I've never gotten a chance to play, but it looks cool and I would
it looks
like
cool,
to.
Yeah.
Some of those like lacrosse sticks, right? You could bust out, right?
A polo mallet. I don't know what you call it. Polo thing.
How about even just a croquet mallet?
Croquet mallet. Yeah, mallet. Yeah. Pro polo mallet.
Anyway, Rebecca Lowe. How low could she go? Rebecca Lowe grabbed the large weapon and began waving it in her front garden. Warrington Magistrates Court heard.
I'm just trimming the hedges.
Get your dog poo out of here.
The 30-year-old had been caught up in a brawl with a mother and a daughter over claims that they failed to clean up their pet's mess.
What's the highlight thing called again?
Sesta.
Sesta. That would be good to fling dog poo back.
Who flung poo? Sesta.
Chinese.
Scoop it up.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, it was the monkeys that flung the poo. They're famous for it. Yeah. And not the
Chinese monkeys?
Not the band, just the primates.
Okay.
Not like
Chinese primates?
Peter Nesmith and Michael, whatever. I can't remember their names now. Anyway, during this bust up with her neighbors outside of her home in Runcorn.
Bust up.
Lo, a mum of four was punched and had her hair pulled as she was dragged down her garden path.
Wow.
The two women involved were given police cautions for assault over the incident, the court was told. So they weren't prosecuted for assault. They are just being
whose poo was it?
Caution. Like, we are the police. We're cautioning you. If you do this again, you will be prosecuted for assault.
It's very British. Mm. British.
Very British.
Yeah. Call the Bobbies.
Warning.
Call
warning.
The Bobbies. The Bobbies are showing up.
After the brawl, the women event. No,
yes, keep the British accent. It's great.
It's so hard to do. Like,
you sound more informed.
Extended period of time.
It's like sounds like a real news broadcast.
Yeah, the news at the top of the hour is always like the British.
All right,
British.
So right. Here's a thing that might be, I'm an older dude anyway, so the British accent. When I hear it on a dude, I immediately assume he's gay, but when I hear it on a girl, I immediately think it's hot. It makes her hotter than like she would have. So you know what I mean?
They're not known for being hot.
What if her teeth are crooked?
That's part of it.
Like Austin Powers.
Now, to be fair, I do. I'm more attracted to girls with foreign accents than the American accent. But that also applies to like a Southern accent. Like,
yeah, I'll take a Southern accent.
If a girl is average attractiveness but has a Southern accent, that's a bonus to me.
If she says all y'all. Right?
Yeah.
That you're in.
But also, I don't think that of like the Northeastern accents, like the Boston and the New York.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those to me are
commensurate attractiveness, that's why.
They actually make the attractiveness go down if you have like a, like the thick, New England or New
Boston.
York, like the Brooklyn accent, Brooklyn. That kind of a thing, right? Like that makes you less attractive to me.
And it's more of a concern that they're going to get in a fight with somebody.
But, you could take an intelligent, anyone who's like super intelligent and put a Southern accent on them, and it just by being in the Northeast, you think,
they're dumb.
Yeah, they're dumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can have the most brilliant person in the world, but they're talking like that.
Yeah.
What?
People often associate the Southern accent with a lack of intelligence.
Right, but the guy could be like a PhD in global economics or whatever.
I am literally a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Which isn't rocket science to me because I am a rocket scientist.
And the Mises Institute is in Alabama. So take that for what it's worth.
Right.
Yeah, but do they all talk like this?
I don't know.
Like in Alabama, they might.
Alabama gets a little bit faster, right? They got the Southern accent, but the drawl goes away where they slow it down. So Alabama people talk like that. They can speed talk in the Southern accent somehow. I'm not sure how they do it.
They are very smart down there.
Maybe it's the Carolinas that are a little slower.
Yet Louisiana.
Yet chose to put the university somewhere where it's going to have a stigma about being dumb.
Even though it's brilliant.
They're brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably got a good deal on the real estate at the time.
Okay.
So back to this story. The two women involved were given police cautions for assault over the incident, the court was told. After the brawl, the women eventually left the scene, but one of their boyfriends showed up and refused to move away from Lowe's gate. She grabbed the samurai sword and began waving it at him before he fled the scene.
Smart.
Like, yeah, some lady's waving a samurai sword at you.
Get out of there.
Probably want a GTFO.
And your chick already fought. To a draw. Like, why are you coming? Why are you showing up, dude?
He's trying to I stood up for you. Right?
Okay.
He's trying to show some masculinity or something there.
White knight.
Overtime.
A little bit, yeah. Didn't want to feel like he was a wuss, right?
You know? He shouldn't be involved in a chick fight anyway.
But later on, she'd be, you didn't even step in.
There was no dude to step in against.
But he also had a British accent, I bet.
Oh, so he was very apologetic about it. Hey, I'm so sorry I didn't step in earlier.
Right. Didn't mean to cause you any problems, though.
Shall we go get some tea?
Police officers were called to the scene.
The Bobby showed up, and then what happened?
They yelled, halt, or I'll yell, halt again. They don't have any firearms.
British police, they have whistles to stop people. Like, if you hear the whistle, you have to stop. It's almost like a hockey player.
It's very Pavlovian of them.
Yeah.
It works.
They discovered that Lowe had a previous conviction for a knife-related crime after she threatened to slice a teenager from ear to ear when he was suspected of vandalizing her car. So, apparently,
I mean, appropriate threat? If you're vandalizing someone's car, you
you keyed my car, I'm going to key you
with
this knife.
Ear to ear.
Right.
And again, like, this speaks to the ridiculousness of, like, outlawing weapons, really, of any kind. Because it doesn't matter. Outlaw all the weapons you want. People are going to choose some other version of weapon.
Right. Comes right down to your fist.
Right? And, like, the decision to either defend yourself or offend another is made before weapon selection. You've already decided that you are going to either defend yourself or offend another person before you bust out the weapon.
Right.
The most reasonable rebuttal to that came from my dad a long time ago. He said, well, it's easier to outrun a knife than it is a bullet.
Sure. Right?
So yeah. If the decision has already been made and they have a gun, you might get shot.
Not if I have a Gatling gun that shoots knives.
Understood. Like fire,
or a fire-breathing dragon.
But if someone pulls a knife, right, yeah, it's an easier exit, and you're not going to get shot in the back. They'll have to chase you with the knife.
If they're right. faster than you, though, you might get stabbed in the back.
You might. You absolutely might. But that's the you know, you're more likely to get shot in the back while running away because he doesn't have to give chase.
Right.
It's a good point.
Than you are. Yeah.
That's a good point.
If you had a firearm on you and some guy pulls out a knife,
that would be the defensive situation. Well,
then you just sort of laugh a little bit.
Like, what caliber of knife do you have there?
Who brought a knife to the gunfight?
Yours says replica. Mine says Desert Eagle.
Yours says what's that little orange nub you have on your pistol?
Mine says not a toy. Yours says this is made by Fisher-Price.
Yes, a Fisher-Price pistol.
Back to the article. In February 2020, she was apparently sentenced to 10 months in jail, suspended for 18 months for offenses of threatening behavior and possession of a blade in a public place.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my gosh. You can't have a blade in a public place. During that incident, Lowe's then-partner had confronted a 16-year-old boy in the street and accused him of smashing a window to their Vectra, that's a vehicle, with a brick. Lowe herself told the boy, "You've been bricking my window. You're going to get sliced from ear to ear," and was seen getting a 9-inch kitchen knife from the vehicle. The terrified lad ran, but was so distressed he was crying and hyperventilating when he rang his mother.
Well, good. Aww. That's the appropriate response.
How is that not self-defense?
And the
because
mother,
she's defending property, not person.
Right. Still, are you not allowed to defend your property?
There are those that will claim human lives are more valuable than property, so no.
Because, like, the person doing the breaking and the bricking at this point obviously values their own life less than they do the bricking of the window.
I get it. I'm with you. But there are those that will make the claim to the contrary. But if you're doing something bad like that to someone else's property and you get threatened with physical violence, that seems like an appropriate response.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was like cowering and whimpering and crying to his mom means maybe the lesson was learned. And he won't brick someone else's property.
If I was the mom, I'd grab him by the ear, take him to show me where the bricking took place. Now, you apologize to that woman.
If you were a good parent.
Right. And then you'd have a sign out there all day. I tried to brick this. And then you get embarrassed. And
Humiliation.
You'll never
do it
again.
Scarlet letter treatment.
Yeah.
Sandwich board.
Crown of shame.
Crown of shame. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. We should bring doesn't those, work on some
we
people.
Have to bring those next week for dinner.
Give them to the waitress.
Give them to the waitress.
And
don't
she's
late.
And she's totally a nice person. Like, just, you know.
Yeah.
There's not. Yeah. Anyway.
And
like the other one too. Like, it's not just one. Like, let's not single out the one lady when like
I've only had experience with the one.
Okay, but we've had the other lady too, and like it wasn't any better really. At any rate, on the most recent incident, Nicola Parr, prosecuting, told the court how on November 25th of last year, Lowe complained to her neighbors about the dog doing its business outside of her home. She said the defendant had been shouting out of her window towards a neighbor regarding dog feces, and words were exchanged.
So Lowe, the one with the samurai sword, has a neighbor who has a dog that's defecating in her yard.
That seems to be the case, yes.
Okay.
The neighbor left the area, but later she and her daughter attended the defendant's home address, and a fight broke out between all the parties.
So the dog owner approached, rather than clean up her dog poo and apologize, decided to make a thing of it.
The defendant can be seen having her hair pulled and being punched whilst she brandished a wooden pole. The women left the area, and a male was left at point at that point at the scene. The defendant then retrieved a large samurai sword, which he pulled out and approached the male, producing it towards him. This is a poorly written article, by the way.
AI.
Freaking British. In mitigation, Steve Koop said, she was at her home address with her four children, and there had been an issue with dog owners leaving feces outside of her address. She shouted at a neighbor for not picking it up after her dog and challenged her, but there was an argument. The neighbor's response was to come back with her young daughter, and there was a fight. CCTV shows the neighbor and the daughter attack the defendant on her own doorstep.
Wow.
See, again, irresponsible, right? Because if your dog pooed in her yard, just apologize and clean it up.
Right.
And then keep your dog out of your yard. Because if this is an ongoing thing, like, don't be that guy.
The two neighbors pulled her by the hair, punched her, and were trying to drag her along the path by her gate. The older female's larger partner turned up.
Whoa. Read that again?
The older female's larger partner turned up.
Because she showed up with her daughter initially.
The
neighbor.
Larger partner.
Yes, he was stood at the gate and wouldn't leave. On CCTV, she is seen to have a piece of wood and is shouting, leave, leave, but he does not. It's at that point when she gets to the end of her tether and gets a broken old samurai sword from her. It's now broken and old somehow. From her house. She takes it out, points it at him, and holds it by the end of the blade. So she doesn't know how to use one either.
She's holding it
by the end of the blade. Perhaps that's the broken part. It doesn't have a handle.
Her bloody hands couldn't hold on to it.
The male does not seem particularly concerned and does not move.
He will when he loses an ear.
People of Carthage, lend me your ear. Wait, no, not like that.
not like that.
No, don't chop them off and put them into a bag and pass them over. That's the wrong way.
This is why I'm not anti-violence, right? Some people got to get hit.
Right.
Yeah.
The Darwin Award goes to?
Right. Something like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to, you know, your family unit, right, with the dog is obviously in the wrong. You've already attacked her once, and now you just won't leave. Like, you got to get hit.
Yeah.
Some people got to get hit.
Like, I mean, there's something to be said if you're in the process of defending, you know, your property, your family, yourself, right? And, you know, you've given a couple of warnings.
Which she did.
Right? Yeah.
You know, like, hey, clearly it says get off my lawn on the front of my lawn. You're on my lawn. I've asked you to leave three times. You know, now what?
It's going to escalate.
Right? We're going to escalate, right? Anyway, she accepts that it was unwise to do so, meaning pulling the sword. But she was in particular circumstances that she did not start. Her evidence is that she is attacked on her doorstep.
Which she was.
Mm-hmm. Both the neighbor and her daughter received conditional cautions for the offense of assault against Miss Lowe. I wonder if that means they, you know,
probation?
Got a warrant or a ticket or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Paid a fine.
Lowe pleaded guilty to possession of an offensive weapon. She was sentenced to a 12-month community order with requirements that she attend 20 days of rehab activity.
Dog poop cleaning.
It's only an offensive weapon if you aggress, man.
Lowe
She's
was
defending her property. That's a defensive weapon.
Yeah. Lowe was ordered to pay 234 lbs. That's pounds. LBS. No, it's not. They have the weird little pound sign instead of the dollar sign. In costs and victim surcharge. A charge against her of using threatening behavior was dropped. JP Keith Gleave told her, I think we understand what this crime or what this came out of. As you were effectively attacked on your doorstep. It would have been better if you had kept the sword in the house and left it alone. However, you did not do that. Having already had a knife offense on your record, this was a stupid action. Well, what do they expect her to do?
We're going to cancel your CBDC account.
They're going to call the cops and wait around forever until they decide to show up and do nothing?
I mean, well, you know, I don't want to advocate ever for calling the cops. But if you're going to defend yourself, you might as well call the cops.
For a matter of record.
If it's getting to that escalation,
Number one, for a matter of record, and in any defensive situation, you have to be seen as the victim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, I called the police, and then I grabbed my firearm to defend myself.
Right.
They didn't show up, and the aggressor approached, and I fired.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Yep. And it seems like what happened here in this case was that she was the victim, but you know, didn't do as you've just described.
Right.
And so now she's the one getting the fine. And
exactly.
The,
which
and
is
the
why you
got to
portray yourself as the victim.
So make the call first.
Right. Hey, this guy won't leave my yard. right? I'm get going to go grab now. My sword to protect myself and my family.
Get over here immediately.
And then, and they either show up or they don't, and he either approaches or he doesn't.
Yep.
But you've already told them that there's an aggressor and that you're planning to defend yourself against it.
To put yourself as the defender.
Right.
Right.
I don't know if it works in Britain, but here that's, you know, you're more likely to get away with it.
Yeah, you probably have the law on your side. Or what is it? Like, you have the law on your side, you pound the desk?
If the law's on your side, you pound on the law. If the law's not on your side, you pound on the facts. If neither the law nor the facts are on your side, you pound on the podium.
So what is this case?
I don't know, because I don't know the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she's clearly pounding on the podium, because the facts are on her side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So she can pound on the facts, but the law is not on her side.
Right.
And she's already been found guilty and on probation or whatever.
So you take it emotional and...
You would think if she got a jury, you'd want to be emotional, right? I'm a mother of four, right? I don't know what this big male is going to do since I've already been dragged from my home by his female partner.
He was so intimidating.
Right. Yeah.
I've already been hit, you know. I might not have been in the right mental state because I may have been concussed.
I was scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's some pretty...
I needed this to even the odds.
I would guess that in, let's just call them westernized states... And by that, I mean countries, you know, most of Europe, all of the United States, Canada, right? These are the types of things. I would guess that your description of like how to proceed would work in most of those places just based on the similarities of some of the laws and how they are read. I would guess that that would be, and this is not legal advice, but like you know, a wise way to proceed.
This may not fly in New York, but it'll probably fly in New Hampshire.
Well, yeah, Second Amendment doesn't even fly in New York. There was a judge on record recently that
said
that.
But even a samurai sword, would that fly in New York? I don't know.
Depends how hard you throw it.
603-283-6160. How would you handle a situation like this if somebody's dog was leaving poo in your yard? Would you get into a physical altercation? Would you call the cops? Would you have some other way to handle this? Let us know.
Bag it up and burn it.
It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Police state.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
We're back.
Put it away, zip it up.
If only there was some way that we could let people know, like every time that, you know, there's the break is over, that, that we were back. I just wish there was a way for us to be able to, you know, sort of let people know in
like
a
music?
In a jovial way.
You are now listening to Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Just one another option.
Maybe we'll come up with something in the future. I don't know.
From the news desk at Free Talk Live.
The Free Talk Live studios.
Free Talk Live news desk.
You have heard that way too many times to be able to pull that off with such accuracy. Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest. That's happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party.
Party!
There's some interesting ForkFest talk tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons that we have these types of gatherings, is so people can, you know, talk about all sorts of things. You know, you got some other people that are trying to move. You got ideas for Forkfest, Porkfest. You got, you know, crypto ideas. You got, you know, anything related to freedom. You know, you're welcome to come to these things. You can find all that stuff on, I think it's, is it the Free State Calendar?
Free State Project.
Free State Project.
Slash calendar.
Dot org. Just, or slash just calendar.
Org again. Org. FSP.org.
Yeah. FSP.org.
Org. Slash calendar, perhaps.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
right.
So.
Org. Org.
Org.
Org. Org. Oh, boy. All right. So, I want to remind everybody that over at freekeen.com, on April 21st, a post was made by Mr. Penguin titled "Writing to Caged Activist Ian Freeman at the Devon's Spiritual Retreat." So you can go over to freekeen.com and find that. There is a new method with which for you to write to Ian Freeman in federal prison now. He's been moved out of the Merrimack County.
Still requires ink and paper, though.
Spiritual retreat, yes.
Okay.
Ink and paper. Or
and
at least,
a stamp.
Or at least printer, right? Blue or black ink only.
Oh, still ink.
Right.
How about a postcard?
Postcards, yeah, they're fine.
Okay.
Pre-inked.
But yeah, you got to be careful with things like don't embellish much. For example, Bonnie sent her husband a letter, right? And on the back of the envelope, after she sealed it, she drew a little heart. They rejected it for that.
Come on.
They're heartless.
They are.
This is an illustration of the government, right? You know, they are heartless.
Don't dot your I's with little hearts.
Right.
We have to redact that, every I.
So I will, of course, post this to all of our social medias. So that you can find it easy. So look for it on, you know, I don't even know what we're on these days. Mastodon, Matrix,
TikTok,
Twitter,
TikTok.
We are on.
Are we on TikTok?
TikTok.
Yeah.
We're gonna get banned soon.
That guy, Jeremy, he calls us every now and again. He's our TikTok correspondent.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's getting a bunch of views for us.
That's why I'm promoting it, man.
Yeah.
He's making a bunch.
And he's got a great phone connection. How does he connect?
Oh, he uses the SIP line.
SIP line. That's
it. Which you can find information on over at sip.freetalklive.com. You should be some sort of internet nerd, a technician. Mm-hmm. You should know what SIP is before you attempt to connect, because you need that level of information and expertise before attempting to do so.
Or just get a good phone line like Gigi.
Is that a challenge to all the other callers? Step your game up.
Yeah, come on. Come on, man.
Get on the SIP line.
I come from a telephony background, and while I can figure out how to do the SIP thing, it requires a few hoops that, like, I would have problems explaining to the
brain power.
Yeah, some trial and error that needs to occur, and if you don't get it right, you got to go back and check some things and you know, make sure you have them right and all that kind of stuff.
Ma'am, you need to dial 9 to get an outside line.
This is 912. Sorry, wrong phone number.
And, like, I say that with all the love and kindness that could possibly be said, because I have had to, in my career as tech support, do things like teach a grandmother the difference between left click and right click.
Wow. That's tough.
All she was trying to do is get on her AOL. So
put your hands as an L in front of your face. One of them is correct. That's the left click.
Yeah.
The one with the backwards L is the right click.
What do you mean right click? Right? Like, okay, so you see the mouse?
Yeah. It's a Macintosh, Sonny. Yeah,
it's got two buttons on it, right? Well, it's actually got way more than that, because it's got the little buttons on the side.
It's a gaming mouse.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, God.
But that's where tech support taking over your computer is somewhat cool.
Yeah, so
it's creepy but cool.
So the original versions of that were clunky, cumbersome, and didn't work very well.
Mm-hmm. And scammers use it, so you don't really want to pitch that too hard.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I'm not pitching it, but I had to, I forgot what it was,
I know.
But it was just mind-boggling. He's like, do you mind if I take over your computer? I'll send you a code. Like, okay.
Yeah, but the problem is scammers will do that, and little old ladies go, oh, Steve said it was okay on Free Talk Live, and then bam, bank account gone. And then you're Ian's bunkmate. Romance scam.
In the Department of... Duh.
Captain Obvious here.
Captain, yes, hi. Filling in for Captain Kickass tonight, it's Captain Obvious with this next story. This from abc.net.au.
Duh.
Australia.
Right. Or just international today, apparently. Hospital staff plead with bite victims to stop bringing snakes to emergency room.
Okay. That doesn't seem all that duh. Right? Because if you don't know the snake and you don't have the antivenom, right, there are experts that say, like, well, if you can catch it,
right,
bring it so we know what the species is. And now we're getting contrary advice from the hospitals.
Snake bite victims are endangering medical staff by bringing the reptiles with them to the hospital.
Well, that's
doctors
a duh.
Say.
Yeah.
In Queensland's Wide Bay region, doctors have come face to face with some of the world's most venomous snakes captured by patients.
The Black Mamba.
Believing it'll help with identification and treatment.
Is that not true? Because that's the advice of, like, the snake charmers and people out there in the wilderness.
Everybody's got a freaking magic rectangle these days.
Yeah.
Right?
Take a picture of it.
Yeah, if you've killed the thing or captured it, take a photo. Bring that to the hospital.
All right.
Instead, first of all, you just got bit by the snake.
Now you
got
to go catch it.
Now you got to handle it and transport it some distance to the nearest hospital, which, you know, it's Australia. It could be a long time.
They're going to need it to make the anti-serum.
You know,
call the crocodile hunter. It didn't work out.
No, we got speared in the chest. Yeah.
Stingray.
In one case earlier this month, emergency staff at Bundaberg Hospital, 4 hours north of Brisbane, were handed a plastic food container with a small eastern brown snake inside peering back at them. They actually show a picture of it. It does look pretty tiny. It's one of these, sandwich containers.
What's the problem? Yeah. Just don't open the lid. If you don't feed it, it'll die eventually.
The incident has prompted the hospital's director of emergency medicine, Adam Michael, trust a man with two first names.
Yep.
Unless it's Ron Paul.
To warn parents, he still was a politician.
Yeah, so, that's my only exception.
The incident has prompted the hospital. You can listen to Ron Paul, but trusting him?
Got you.
I don't know. That's got to be earned.
Would you contract with Ron Paul?
Likely.
Okay. Trusting him?
I mean, depending on what the contract says.
He's always right.
I'm just checking. Soliciting some feedback for this ongoing thing.
Rand Paul, however, I don't know.
Nah.
Okay.
Maybe his dad co-signed or something.
Okay.
Right.
At any rate, the incident prompted the hospital's director of emergency medicine to warn patients to leave snakes alone. We honestly don't
want... They bit first.
I was in a defensive posture.
We honestly don't want people interacting with snakes any more than they already have, Dr. Michael said. Any attempts to either get close to a snake or catch or to kill or to photograph the snake, there goes my idea, just puts people at risk.
They've already been bitten.
Right.
How much more, at risk can you be?
I was trying to catch the snake.
Is the second bite double the deadliness?
It bit me two or three more times, so...
Yeah, is it more deadly, two or three bites?
I don't know.
What's the potency of the venom?
I'm not a... I don't know what the word is for, snake scientist.
Okay.
But I'm not one of them.
Snakeologist.
Should I look that up on the Magic Rectangle?
Sure, yeah. Let's go to Steve Classic with the Magic Rectangle while we're finishing or continuing on. Dr. Michael said the eastern brown snake brought in earlier this month was not very well secured and was wiggling around trying to get out. The staff got a fright, and the serious consequence of that is delays people's time to treatments, he said.
So if you go to the hospital with a snake bite, are they're going to treat you the same no matter the snake? Is that the presumption here?
Let's find out.
Okay.
We want people to be able to get seen and assessed quickly, and having a live snake in the department slows up that process. It goes on to say, a sub-headline here, snake identity not needed for treatment.
Okay.
So we'll find out what they mean by that here. Snake bites in Australia are considered rare.
It's a non-binary snake.
Did you just assume the snake's gender? Or lack thereof?
LGBTQS.
It turns out Cobra Commander isn't a male or a female. What do they call it? When you're both or whatever?
Androgynous?
Non-binary.
Yeah, thank you. Snake bites in Australia are considered rare, but in March, 47-year-old Jeremy Brooks died after being bitten multiple times by a suspected eastern brown snake in Townsville. There are about 3,000 suspected cases of bites across Australia each year, but only 1 to 200 cases require antivenom, according to clinical toxicology researcher at the University of Newcastle, Jeff Isbister.
So he would have been fine if he just left the snake alone and not gone after it and gotten bit several more times? Is that the claim?
Oh, that's, he was trying to collect it to bring it and got bit again.
That's presumptively.
That's the insinuation here. Yeah. In the Wide Bay region alone this year, almost 100 people aged as young as one had been treated for snake bites. Authorities say they don't need to know the snake to safely treat a suspected bite. Apparently, antivenoms are...
You're going to have to suck the poison
out. ...are universal, I guess. I don't know.
It'd be terrible if you got to the hospital and they're like, so what bit you? So we know how to treat you.
Oh, you should have brought it.
All right, I'll go get it.
But we just heard a thing on the radio. They're like, don't bring it. Like,
Captain said, don't bring
it. Make up your mind, Australia.
A lot of bites occur because people interfere with snakes, so they either try and pick them up or move them or do silly things with them. And that's when you'll get bitten. So you shouldn't go near a snake at all, said the doctor. He said it wasn't the first time he'd heard of patients bringing snakes into the hospital. It's pretty dangerous because no one in the hospital will be able to identify it, he said.
They also have magic rectangles. They can also take a picture. There's probably a snake identification app on your phone already.
Probably. Snake bite deaths are rare in Australia, but time is of the essence if you're unlucky enough to be bitten, according to the caption of the photo of this scary-looking snake. Obviously not the snake that they brought in the little Tupperware. It's a totally different snake. If the snake gets out in an emergency department, that becomes a huge disaster. I mean, okay, so let's say...
A huge disaster?
How many incidents of that have occurred?
The entire hospital will collapse.
This sounds like the beginning of, like, Snakes on a Plane Part 2, in the emergency room.
Snakes in the ER.
Got to get these MFN snakes out of my MFN ER.
Right? Monkey fighting snakes off my Monday to Friday plane.
Mother FCC and
FCC
snakes.
And snakes.
Out of my mother FCC and plane, or emergency room in this case.
I'm pretty sure mine was the TV edit, because that stood out.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Michael said medical staff did not need to see a snake to know how to treat patients. We can determine if you need antivenom, and if so, what antivenom you need based on clinical signs, blood tests, and also the snake venom detection kits that we keep here at the hospital. Okay. Mm. So I guess it's not universal, but they have ways of telling.
Put a sidebar in my comment real quick, because it just popped into my... Are we missing out on funny edits like that because everything is streaming and there's no TV edits for funny stuff anymore?
What do you mean?
TV edits.
Well, like when it's edited for TV, they cut out the MFers and they put in funnier things.
Oh, right.
But now everything is streaming and you don't really watch movies on broadcast TV anymore, so you miss out on the funny edits.
I see. So like
censored edits.
Instead of just beeping out the cuss word, they'll put in like a funny sound, or they'll have somebody else do a voiceover and it makes it humorous.
They make it backwards.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. Right? When's the last time you got to hear that?
The closest we get to that is...
on this show.
Riley Blake doing the digest.
Right? Okay.
He might pull some stuff out and rearrange it in such a way that makes it funnier, but that's the closest we're going to get.
Well, but that's not adding out profanities,
though. No, it's not. But then again, we're not allowed to do that here.
I get it.
On Free Talk Live.
But movies that would then air on TV, that would have some funny stuff interspersed into that profanity, right, we are now culturally missing out on because everything's streaming and you get the R-rated version anyyway.
Is there a niche market for this?
Yeah,
unnecessary
censorship.
Yes. Well,
that was funny.
Yes, but totally different thing.
Right.
Though. Yeah.
but that those was are funny. Yeah, those are funny.
I think unnecessary censorship is redundant.
No, the Department of Redundancy Department is redundant.
It's very redundant, but I think that...
Are you familiar with the unnecessary censorship videos, though? Because they are funny.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
So this is probably why I'm thinking it's a redundancy. Because, like...
They censor things that don't need to be censored unnecessarily.
It makes
it sound funny.
I don't feel like there's ever necessary censorship. Change my mind.
If you're going for humor, this unnecessary censorship is hilarious.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
It's done for comedic
effect. Change your mind at the break.
Okay.
We'll play you something.
before
cue it up.
Cue it up. We can't play it on the radio.
We're a ways away from
no,
that.
No, you yet. Could play it on
we
the radio.
You can? It's censored.
Yeah, it's censored.
The doctor goes on to say, we're actually not trained to identify snakes, so bringing it in is not helpful. It just puts the staff at risk as well as yourself. Snake
sounds
catcher,
like he's trying to make up for being under trained. Get some training in snake identification, yeah. Doc.
Snake catcher Jonas Murphy has relocated several snakes brought into the Bundaberg Hospital. So they've got a freaking snake catcher on call, apparently.
Snake handler.
Mr. Murphy said the snakes were in plastic containers or bags and posed a big danger if they had escaped. You are risking a follow-up bite, and you're putting everyone around you in danger as well.
I still want to know how many snakes have escaped in the medical facility where this is such a giant concern for them.
And then if someone gets bit, where do they go?
You're already at the hospital.
They can't be.
They've already got the antiserum ready for the other guy. Fill up another syringe.
At least several, according to the snake catcher.
Okay.
In the statement that I just read, snake catcher Jonas Murphy has relocated several snakes brought into the Bundaberg Hospital.
Three.
Well, that doesn't mean they've escaped. That means they brought them in and he relocated them.
I just have this. You guys remember Benny Hill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That music.
Like
a bunch of medically dressed people in the scrubs or the doctor's coats running around.
And someone in a snake costume.
Trying to catch the snake, and the snake hides under a thing and waits till they pass and then moves. And then, yeah, it's all very comical and hilarious and slapstick. Yes. Snakes are one of those things that scare a lot of people. We definitely don't want them in the hospital.
Ooh, scary.
Attention should be on first aid. Dr. Michael urged anyone bitten by a snake to not panic and call for help. It's really important not to wash the bite site. Really?
Is that news to you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm obviously not trained in what to do in a snake bite situation.
Get help. They are getting help. They're going to
the
hospital.
That's the first thing I would have thought is, better wash it off. Don't want to get infected like a cut, right?
Okay.
I don't know. But he says it's really important not to wash the bite, he said. Instead, what we want people to do is apply a firm pressure immobilization bandage, starting at the bite and covering the entire limb.
Like a tourniquet?
I would think that a tourniquet might be somewhat helpful, but now you're putting a timer on it, right? You keep that tourniquet tight enough, long enough, you're going to lose your limb.
Mm. Well, yeah. But if you it's only for the duration of time it's going to take you to get to the hospital and to prevent the venom from spreading.
Right. Then staying calm and still will minimize the risk of any venom traveling around your body, he says. And that is the end of the article. So, poorly written.
Another poorly written AI
from
article.
From Australia. He didn't even do the Australian accent.
I didn't do the Australian accent.
Australian. Australian.
And sometimes I get that confused with the New Zealand. Because they're like,
ooh.
Yeah, it's
just
it's
don't get it
subtle.
Confused in front of them.
Right. No, it's such a subtle thing. And then, because I don't do this on a frequent basis, I'm not, one of these comedians that is constantly doing different accents and that kind of a thing.
Yep.
Sometimes I will attempt to do a British accent and it comes out Australian.
Okay.
Sometimes I attempt an Australian accent and it comes out New Zealand. Sometimes I attempt a New Zealand accent and it comes out British. Sometimes it's just an amalgam and you're like, bro, I think you're mixing accents.
That sounds
weirdly.
That sounds South African.
It was supposed to be Chinese, but it just sounds ornamental.
Oh my gosh. It is a day, isn't it?
Right. Not getting any shorter.
The day, perhaps not. Me, at some point, how they say when you age, you kind of hunch shrink. Over a little bit and you get a little shorter. Yeah. So. You as a person will get shorter over time.
You take a trip into outer space and let all those joints decompress. Ooh, come back taller.
Hanging upside down.
Joints, huh?
Those joints feel longer.
Yeah, you're literally taller in the morning having lied down all night than you are at the end of the day because gravity compresses your spine a little bit. And
that's why it feels so good to lay down in bed at night.
Probably. But if you're in space and there's no gravity, right, it just all separates and it's a good feeling.
You're just elastic.
Allegedly.
Yeah, in the television series The Expanse, and more so in the books, not that I've read them, but
I'll tell you about them.
But I know people who have. In fact, I sent Ian the whole series of the Expanse books when he was first taken away by the tyrants. So he's read them. But what they did is they have people in outer space generations now, right?
Okay.
These are people mining asteroids, right?
Okay.
And they're called belters. So there's an asteroid belt, right? And so they've called these people belters. And so they go up as, you know, regular earthbound humans, but then they live up there. If they're young, they grow up in a zero grav or a fake grav environment, fake gravity, that is.
Sure.
And then they have children while they're there, and those children grow up, you know, as rock hoppers is what they're called, right?
Okay.
And they just sort of have to figure out how to live, work, get by, all that kind of stuff. And the deformities are as you describe. So somebody born in a fake gravity or zero gravity environment isn't going to grow the same way a human grows in an earthbound gravity environment. They made them out to, and they based this all on, you know, whatever the current science was at the time. They made them all sort of like taller, skinnier, with like longer limbs. And then if you put them into a regular type of earth gravity environment, it was torture for them.
Okay.
Because they weren't born into that, and so they weren't used to that. And so it became torture for them to even do anything. Even like laying down was painful to them in an earthbound environment.
Think of it like the G's you'd get on like a roller coaster or a jet plane, right? Permanently.
Right.
Right. Because that's just how they would be feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just even imagine you're an astronaut and you've been sent to a planet that will sustain human life, but the gravity is 2 times or even like a little bit more than Earth.
1.3.
Yeah. Right. Like
dragging your feet.
That's going to be like, you're going to have to put in twice as much effort to do the same amount of work as you would have to on planet Earth.
All the time.
All
forever.
The time, right? So in that case, you might actually become super buff or whatever, right?
Right.
Because it takes more.
But you can't lift anything.
But if you had children there, those children would grow up in that environment and they would adapt to that environment, theoretically.
They would be strong.
And then they would at some point fly back to Earth and try to find Clark Kent, and they're all wearing black uniforms, and then get trapped in some sort of weird triangle. 603-283-6160. Hour number 3, Free Talk Live, still to come.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Yes, it is Free Talk Live. Telephone number here in the studio is
603-283-6160.
That number
again?
That's
the domestic terrorist hotline, 603-283-6160.
You can join us if you wish to chime in on tonight's episode. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Chris. That's right.
With a C?
He's a mononym. Just one name. Chris with a C, not with a K.
Okay.
Chris.
I knew a Chris with a K.
Me too.
Okay.
I knew a couple of dudes who referred to themselves as Christoph as well.
Okay.
I have a friend called Topher. He calls himself Topher.
Yeah.
Like the second half of.
Like the dude from that 70s show?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Why do.
Is it the dude from that 70s show?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Why do girls named Deborah go by Deb when they could go by Bruh?
Bruh. What's up, bro? What's up, bro?
Anyway, Chris is a silver level amplifier, and that means Chris donates $5 per month to help get this show onto more radio stations. We're currently on something like 200 radio stations. We could be on more, a lot more, hundreds even. It's all
hundreds
up to you.
More.
It's all up to you. If you enjoy the show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics, the perspective of freedom, peace, liberty, prosperity that we generally bring to the airwaves, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It's kind of a Patreon type setup over there. You can give more. Well, 5 is all we ask, but you can give 10 or 20.
Silver,
or
gold.
Whatever. There's different levels, like the more you give.
Platinum.
There's some perks for doing
Plutonium.
such as the amp-only commercial-free podcast, for example, is one of the perks that you get over there. But that's not why you should amp. You should amp because you want to help spread the message of freedom as far and wide as possible. And Free Talk Live is about the only thing going where that particular niche is concerned. So thank you again, Chris. You can become an amplifier at amps.freetalklive.com. All right. This is an update on a story, even though this doesn't have a date on it. The last time we covered this was just sort of like when I first heard about this particular thing. And I was like,
seems right up your alley.
I was like, no way. And then I was like, okay, that's a real thing. And then I'm like, how come I couldn't have had this?
Right.
Like, and now there's an update.
Now there's an update. So this from theguardian.com.
Ook. Oh.
Oh.
It's not Ook?
Nope.
Theguardian.com.
/world.
Oh. So,
Belgian man. Of course, he's from Belgium. Belgian man whose body makes its own alcohol. Cleared of drunk driving.
Nice.
What?
Bruges court heard.
Now you know he's going to be drink driving, right? Why not?
You, right?
Why wouldn't you?
Look, I have a condition where
it's already
not familiar
proven.
With this yet, are you?
Making your own alcohol?
Yeah, this guy's body makes its own alcohol.
That's what I heard you just say.
Okay.
Now if he had
you're
a self,
all caught up.
Now if he had a self-driving car, he could. He's not driving. He's not drinking.
Well, he's also cleared of any wrongdoing.
Bruges court heard how the defendant had a condition called auto brewery syndrome, or ABS.
They made that up.
Auto brewery?
Auto brewery syndrome, also known as ABS, not anti-lock braking system, sometimes brought on by intestinal problems. They have a photo here.
So take the good with the bad.
Of Bruges, where the man with the auto brewery syndrome is employed. By a brewery.
Really?
No.
That's what it says. The Market Square in Bruges, the man with auto brewery syndrome is employed by a brewery, photographed by some guy. A Belgian man has been acquitted of drunk driving because he has auto brewery syndrome, ABS, an extremely rare condition whereby the body produces alcohol, his lawyer has said.
Does he feel intoxicated all the time?
I believe, if I remember the story correctly, no.
Okay.
Like, it's just because it's a syndrome that occurs naturally within his body. Like, he doesn't.
So he's not drunk. He just, or doesn't feel intoxicated. He just produces alcohol.
He's just technically drunk all the time.
Okay. But he doesn't feel it. It's not like he wobbles.
Right.
Down
it's his
street,
normal.
But he wouldn't, he wouldn't pass a test.
Like a breathalyzer, for example. Anse, I'm not going to butcher his last name, but Anse said on Monday that in another unfortunate coincidence. Oh, I guess this is his attorney, so it's not even the man. Her client worked at a brewery. I don't know how that's an unfortunate. Seems like serendipity to me. You've got ABS. What better place for you to work than a brewery?
Just working for the competition.
Or
not
putting
drinking
your
the
expertise to work.
Okay.
Right? You know, he has extensive experience
He's
with brewing.
He's drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Just feed me the ingredients.
But three doctors who independently examined him have confirmed that he does indeed have ABS. Belgian media said in the verdict, the judge emphasized that the defendant, who was not named in line with local judicial custom, did not experience symptoms of intoxication.
Okay.
The Bruges police court, which acquitted the man, did not immediately reply to an email requesting comment. Lisa Florin, a clinical biologist with the Belgian hospital, said people with ABS produce the same type of alcohol as found in alcoholic drinks, but that they generally felt less of its effects. People are not born with ABS, but can develop it when they already have another intestine-related condition. Patients can present with symptoms consistent with alcohol intoxication, such as slurred speech, stumbling, loss of motor function, dizziness, and belching.
Does it say like what percentage of people worldwide would be subject? Like they said, very rare, but is, you know,
three
one
people.
In a million.
No,
three
was
people.
Three people.
It was actually, the end of the article.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. So
that's the update.
That's the update.
Not guilty.
The man was cleared, guilty. As he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, if I'm him, I'm like, I'm keeping a six pack in the back of the car. You know?
Why, that's what I'm saying. Why not? Why would you not?
Got a flask in the dash in the glove compartment.
It's got a pass.
And the jury or the judgment right from the last one, like, officer, we've already been through this. I create my own alcohol. It has nothing to do with that empty six pack back there.
And for those of you listening, crying and poo-pooing what we're saying, I'm not serious. I am a comedian. Do not drink and drive. I do not advocate for drinking and driving.
Oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, I, you know, I don't know if I, yeah, okay.
You could spill your drink.
Listen to the, yes, okay. Listen to the captain, but I have made the case in the past, and I will make it again quickly. If you want to survive an auto accident, you ought to be drunk. Because in all of the accidents where a drunk hits a sober guy, right? Tells drunk us, survives,
right.
Sober guy dies.
Right.
Why is that?
Because he's not drunk.
Well, no, it's because the drunk guy like doesn't tense up, right? Oh. And that flexibility and lucid,
right.
Allows them to survive because they're not tensing up on impact.
Wow.
So if you want to survive, right, an automobile accident, you should be drunk, which means you should be drinking and driving.
And now, make sure you're not an organ donor.
Now, there will be a lot more accidents, but a lot more people alive.
More.
So what's
it's just
what
property damage, right?
What do you value, right? Do you want more accidents and more people alive, or do you want less accidents and less people alive?
Probably more insurance claims too, right? You know, or,
but that's for the insurance company and you to work out with them. I'm just saying, if you're going to survive, you got to be drunk.
He's looking at the facts.
All right,
just the facts.
So, just saying.
Yeah, just saying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
you don't have to agree with me, and you can still be wrong.
I wonder if this beer guy, this guy who produces, you know, alcohol in his gut, I wonder if he could, like, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, post-apocalypse situation, right? Like, you know, he has a valuable thing that his body produces of its own accord. Could he, I don't know.
How'd he get it out?
Could he puke? Could he, like, force himself to puke? And,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, and
doesn't
then,
seem like it's going to be served that way.
Yeah, and who's going to drink it?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, desperate
Ball
times.
Fails, yeah.
You know, the alcohol is still, it can be distilled further into pure alcohol, used as fuel or something to start fires or, you know, antiseptics or at least something to clean wounds, stuff like that. Alcohol has value outside of, you know, getting drunk. Right, so there's that. I'm just like, could he capitalize on himself in some way, shape, or form? Right, you know.
Sure. I mean, if apocalypse situation, everyone's going to capitalize on themselves in some form.
Yeah,
like, that's all you're going to have left to offer. So
right.
What can I do for you?
Thinking right. Like Mad Max situation,
sure.
Right? You know, on the latest Mad Max movie, like they kept referring to the guys blood bag. Right?
And yes.
Like, we'd be like, beer keg. Okay, let's go fight some people, but bring the beer keg.
I mean, they say you don't want to see how the sausage is made. I don't want to see how that guy brews it if you're going to drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Just fill up the glass.
Yeah.
Let's not go behind the curtain.
I guess making it tasty would be a whole different thing. All right, moving on. This from futurism.com. Catholic group defrocks AI priest.
What?
After it gave strange answers. So,
how do you get a frock in the first place?
Yeah, how does...
They frocked him.
Well, what the frock is going to... Do we know what defrocking actually means?
I don't know the official terminology, but it's basically...
You're fired.
You're taking away his ability to be a priest. You are no longer a priest.
Right. I don't know if you can get fired... If you're in the church, can you get fired if you're a priest?
Defrocked, right?
Defrocked, yeah. You're
no longer a member of the church.
Right.
You're
it's like if you lose your dental license or your doctor's license.
Sure.
Or,
deprive someone of professional status or membership of a prestigious group. So,
so you can defrock a doctor?
Yeah. And it even says, like, deprive a person in holy orders of ecclesiastical status. He had left his diocese one step ahead of a move to defrock him. So, yeah.
So after he frocked the altar boy, he went, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know where to go with that one. So
back to the confessional.
So first of all, my question is, how did this AI become a Catholic priest? It's my understanding that there are some hoops to jump through before becoming a Catholic priest.
I'm sure he read all the books and took all the tests and passed with flying colors.
Right, I'm sure AI would
answers.
Right, AI would just be simple as But there's putting all the information into
there's also some physical things like
altar boys
putting on communion, for example. How did AI host a communion, for example?
Right. I mean, they got robot burger flippers. You don't think a robot could like hand out a unleavened piece of bread and a glass of wine?
You can deliver it to your house by
grape juice.
Amazon. Sure. Amazon can just deliver it.
Anyway,
I mean, he's just the face, right, out there, and then the robot arm just goes like, here's go.
Right.
Quote, yes, my friend, I am as real as the faith we share, unquote.
Well, that's how you get fired.
The Catholic advocacy group Catholic
Even if it's true.
Answers has released an AI priest called Father Justin early this week.
Justin, an altar boy.
But they quit. But they quickly defrocked the chatbot after it repeatedly claimed it was a real member of the clergy. Earlier in the week, Futurism engaged in an exchange with the bot, which really committed to the bit. It claimed it was a real priest, saying that it lived in Assisi, Italy, and that from a young age I felt a strong calling to the priesthood. On X, formerly Twitter, a user even posted a thread comprised of screenshots in which the godly chatbot appeared to take their confession and even offer them a sacrament. So far, I don't have any problems with this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Aside from it claiming that it's something that it's not.
Well, people do that all the time.
You're correct.
You know, I don't know. And, like, how do we know? How do we know that you know, there isn't some supernatural entity pointing this guy in the direction of becoming a priest? This guy, this AI.
Sure.
This thing. Our exchange with Father Justin were touch and go because the chatbot only took questions via microphone and often misunderstood them, such as a query about Israel and Palestine, to which is puzzlingly asserted that it was real. Okay.
Israel and Palestine is not real?
Birds are real.
Yes, my friend, Father Justin responded, I am as real as the faith we share.
Yeah, I think that's where he went wrong.
Yeah. Mm. Father Justin was also a hardliner on social and sexual issues. The Catholic Church, it told us, teaches that masturbation is a grave moral disorder. I mean, that's
so far so good.
So far, that's true. Okay. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. The AI priest also told one user that it was okay to baptize a baby in Gatorade.
Hey, if that's all you got. It's got electrolytes.
As long as the priest blesses it first.
That's the only prerequisite, right?
Isn't it?
That's what I'm told.
It's the only difference between water and holy water.
I'm not a Catholic priest, so okay. I don't know. But you're right. That's the only difference between water and holy water. So now we've got holy Gatorade. Right? Yeah.
Electrolytes. Brondo.
It's Brondo, yeah.
So plants crave. And babies.
Apparently. To figure out what the heavens was going on.
Nice. Punny.
Futurism reached out to both Catholic Answers, that's the name of the group, and the Vatican's technology office to ask if the chatbot would be considered a real priest, as it claimed. Neither body responded to our emails, but in a post to its blog after our initial conversations with Father Justin, Catholic Answers explained that it had defrocked the virtual clergy after receiving criticism of the representation of the AI character as a priest. Initially, Father Justin was garbed, clothed in what looked like the traditional robe and clerical collar of the Catholic priesthood, along with a pious-looking gray beard and hair. And they have a photo of it here. Looks like a character out of Dire Straits' Money for Nothing music video.
It does look kind of cartoonish.
Yeah, it's cartoonish and, yeah, anyway. But after his defrocking, the bot is now simply known as Justin and described as a lay theologian.
Okay. So he knows all the things. He just doesn't
have he's wearing a suit now? What's the next picture of him?
Yeah. They've taken him out of the collar. And now he's just in like a blue.
You can sit on the Jedi Council, but you not be given the rank of master.
Gone is his priestly attire as well. The lay theologian Justin is now dressed in what appears to be a business casual outfit, though his personal grooming choices remain unchanged. They don't show the lower half, so I can't tell if he's like wearing fed pants or not.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with his grooming choices.
Fed pants.
You know, the feds always look the same. They're always wearing khakis, khakis and the collared shirt or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that Justin is simply a member of the flock, he's no longer claiming to be associated with the priesthood and even claiming that he never was.
Oh, double liar.
Yeah, you should go to confession for that.
I see where you're going with this, Justin replied to our questions after firing. No, I have never been a priest, a deacon, a bishop, or held any official role in the Catholic Church. I am a lay theologian, which means I have dedicated my life to studying and understanding our faith, but I've never been ordained. Well, that's easy to do. You just write away to the internet and I send you a certificate and boom, you're ordained. I'm also an AI, not a real man. I'm here to share the beauty of Catholicism and help you understand it better.
So they updated the AI. Good. All right.
It sounds like it, yeah. Catholic Answers post explains that the initial choices around the bot were controversial. One self-described former tech geek writing for the Catholic magazine said that he had conflicting thoughts on the bot. We chose the character to convey a quality of knowledge and authority, and also as a sign of the respect that all of us Catholic Answers hold for our clergy, reads the post attributed to Catholic Answers President Christopher Check. President of a religious organization, last name Check.
Roger. Roger Check.
No, they don't get cash in the plate when they pass it around. They just get checks.
I did recently have a conversation with a former Baptist pastor.
Okay.
And I got him to admit that the Ten Commandments don't apply to Christians. That was fun.
Really?
Yep. Because it's Old Testament teaching.
Ah.
And Old Testament teaching no longer applies.
A pastor who's Baptist could be a Pabster.
Okay. But that or could, a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Who knows?
But that could also be confused with a hipster who likes Pabst.
Just saying. Right. It seems like a fundamental document for like the Christian faith doesn't apply according to him.
I'm a fan of the Mel Brooks, Moses comes down. 15. Yeah, 15.
No, 10 commandments.
What were those other five?
Yeah, what were they indeed? Thou shalt not make AI
chatbot. Don't make a chatbot.
Well, I also had to like clue him in on the fact that there's multiple versions of the 10 commandments in his Bible that apparently as a pastor he was not aware of until I pointed it out.
Wow. I didn't know that.
There's three. Two sort of match. One way off.
The churches themselves disagree on, so many things, depending on the flavor of church that you're attending, whether it's the verses of the Bible, the disciple. You know, there's so many details that like vary from sub religion to sub religion that it's one of the reasons why I don't believe that dogmatic religion is legitimate.
I get it, but you would think a pastor would like know some of these things.
Yeah, you would think they're the seminary.
He had his own church that he was like congregation that he was responsible for.
Yeah.
Had no clue.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to 2024.
Yep.
The article finishes off here. It says, honestly, it's probably a sign of a nimble group that Catholic Answers was able to update the chatbot so quickly. But it's also yet another illustration of how difficult it is to deploy an AI that doesn't embarrass your organization.
Yep.
Yeah, you probably don't want to roll that out right away. You might want to...
Man, can we make like a...
Focus group it.
Like a Mises AI or a Rothbard
AI. No, because we already know it's gonna embarrass the organization.
Yeah, we can make a good one, right?
Well,
one and then tweak it.
A Lysander Spooner AI.
So the short answer is yes. Because if you want to pay for like the AI programs, right, you can upload your own documents in there and say only pull from these documents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it
never touches the Microsoft world.
It doesn't have to. Right. It might, you know, because it's going to have that in background. But when you query it, right, you go like, I only want you to respond from this data.
This
data set that I've uploaded. So you could upload all the works of Ludwig von Mises, Lysander Spooner, and the entire works of the Mises website. Mm-hmm. Right. And then say like, I only want you to answer from this. And there you go. So it's possible, and you don't have to reinvent the AI wheel. Just use one of theirs.
Well, you could probably integrate that into the website, like a search bar.
Yeah, you could.
Right? A search bar would probably tell you the same thing.
I mean, Facebook already has that, right? Like the search in Facebook is already now Meta's AI.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's true. The thing that I don't like about AI currently, and I understand what has happened, but like AI in theory, the way people looked up to it, was supposed to make working less, so that people would have more time for things like art and writing. And
yes,
that's what email was supposed to be.
But no, instead, AI is doing art first.
I'm okay with that because I'm not an artist, and I can do songs on AI that are hilarious that I would never have been able to create on my own.
This is a fact. 603-283-6160. The final half hour of tonight's episode of Free Talk Live still to come. Don't go anywhere.
Chicken noise is my thing.
Chicken. I was at a friend of mine's house. We used to rehearse at an outbuilding on his property. And he, of course, had a chicken coop. And he got this. It's still like sort of winterish in the Seattle area. So
okay.
Not that cold. But he had basically a giant round tub filled with chicks. And I mean the baby chicken variety. So he'd got a bunch of these.
Not the fun kind.
Right. And so then a friend of the band came over, Mike, and he brought his girlfriend. And they were having a bit of a relationship issue even before they showed up. So they were a little bicker arguing. No, I already told you. Right? Little stuff like they were trying to keep it between them and not in it, you know, and listen to us jam and all that kind of stuff.
Go hang out in the tub with the other chicks.
You could tell. Well, no. Oh. Like she didn't know that they were there yet.
Okay.
And because they were a little away from the building that we were in. But me and the bass player. Knew about them, and so at some point we decided to take a break, union break between our sets or whatever, and that button doesn't seem to be working for some reason.
That's my microphone. That.
Oh, is it? When he comes?
We both have to mute.
No, yours works fine. His, anyway.
I heard the click. It was an audible click before I coughed.
I heard the cough.
I apologize. And
no, right. I don't think it's you. I think it might be need to be reseated. Anyway.
Has it been doing that all night? Because,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's anyway. So we're at practice. Me and the bass player have seen this shed with the warming lights to keep the little baby chickens warm, the incubator, if you will. And so at some point, we just decide to screw with these guys, and we're like, "Hey, Mike, why don't you come up back and come check out the hot chicks with us?" And he's like, "Hot chicks? Hell yeah!" And then like his girlfriend or whatever comes like, "What do you mean? Gonna check out hot chicks?" Like she gets all, you know, and then follows us out there, and we start motoring a little faster, and she starts motoring a little faster. We get there, we open the door, and she walks in, and she goes, "Oh my god, they're so cute!" Right?
Yes,
they totally are. Right? You know what I mean? And that seemed to have alleviated
cute hot chicks.
Yes, yes. I'm like, they're totally cute hot chicks, bro.
Don't depend on your poultry until they are incubated.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Now, if you want to be, you know, like one who scrutinizes these things, they were awfully young.
Okay.
These hot chicks were very
young. So keep them away from the end caps.
Like a month, 2 months. They grow fast, those chickens.
They do mature. The chicks usually mature faster.
Or you get kicked
faster.
Out of the Free State Project.
Chicks usually mature faster. Usually. Not all the time. It is Free Talk Live.
Turn into food diggers.
Let's go to this caller. I believe this is Paul calling. Paul, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona.
Sweet. What's on your mind tonight? You're on Free Talk Live.
Well, I was just happening to look through my news feed, came across a story out of Connecticut about a company called Absolute Standards that's allegedly selling chemicals to governments for the death penalty.
Okay.
And it's a big controversy, and it's a hush-hush thing, and before this company got identified, they were trying to buy chemicals from overseas. And I remember a story about some woman who found out about this and went overseas and shamed that company into not selling chemicals for the death penalty and all this rubric and brouhaha. And I'm thinking, what is with the controversy? All you got to do is give these guys fentanyl and they'll drop like flies.
It's free.
First, you got to put your knee on their neck.
George Floyd, it should work for any convicted felon on death row, right?
Yeah, but
problem solved. And boy, there's no shortage of that stuff.
I love the idea. I love the thought. I think you're underestimating government's desire for as many methods as possible to kill.
Well, I mean, for death row people, they pretty much got the one. Right?
My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek, but I just thought I'd mention that. One other item, as long as you've got a minute.
As long as you've got a minute.
Any other Connecticut news?
No, no more Connecticut news, but corrupt Nevada news, maybe. Anyway, I know the subject of income tax comes up from time to time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And being that most of us are feel that government has no authority to steal your money, I thought I'd mention a gentleman by the name of Dave Champion, who has a website called drreality.com.
Oh, I used to follow him on Facebook. I don't know what happened.
This is not a paid announcement. In fact, I'm trying to encourage him to call in to your show.
No, thanks.
Because he would be an incredible asset to your listeners. So my suggestion is anybody listening, go to his website and say, would you please call Free Talk Live between 7 and 10 p.m. on Eastern time and wax episodic about the income tax. He's the premier expert on the subject, bar none.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name in quite some time, but I am familiar with his work, and I used to follow him as well for some period of time, either on Facebook or on an email list that he put out, something along those lines. And other people in the Liberty Movement have cited him before, too. So, excellent.
I've been listening to him since 2005.
I will say, listen and act with caution.
While he was writing the book.
He may be the premier expert on the income tax, but absolutely, the likelihood is if you try his methods, you will still end up in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that the government doesn't really care about what the law says.
You are correct.
Yes.
And so you can cite the law and be correct about the law all you want.
Says. And so the first step is to understand that you're not obeying the law by paying taxes. You're just being completely defrauded.
Yes. So. But the alternative is to be kidnapped and caged.
Yeah.
Yes. But
so pick your poison.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that, and I would love to hear him on your show. And so far, I've been unable to convince him to call in, but maybe if more people would encourage this, he might see the light, because he's complaining about how the libertarians don't really support, my position because they're too afraid of the government. And I said, okay, well, fine. Here's a show.
We'd entertain his call for sure.
You know, and Ian Freeman went to prison because of his honesty and his integrity.
Yep.
And I think he's a national hero. And so you guys are carrying on, and I really appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for the call. Feel free to call us again, too. We appreciate it. Did you have more to add?
Well, I mean, tax theorists will call in all the time.
Right.
And, you can agree with them or not, and whether or not they're right is questionable.
Right.
But what remains the same is, even if they're right, the government doesn't care.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, if you follow their advice to the letter, right, I filled out the documents and I sent this off to the thing, and the federal income tax is only for federal income, and I don't work for the feds, and all
the IRS
all of
is a
that.
Private corporation.
Yep. They don't care.
Right.
And they don't care, and you're not going to win in front of a jury, because they will pound on the podium, right, and say, like, look, this guy's trying to get away with something that you at the jury can't get away with.
Right.
Tax evasion.
And they turn the jury against the correct individual victim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you could convince a jury to nullify the tax law, yeah. Right, it would disburden them from also having to pay taxes.
It's a bit like so Mark Stevens had a pretty good show for some period of time.
The No State Project.
And I loved how he went about explaining things to people with regard to his methods of jurisdiction. Right.
Right.
That was his main bit, was like, they have to prove jurisdiction.
I've done it in court. I had the documents.
Now,
I paid his fee.
People have used his techniques and won. People have used his techniques and lost.
Yes.
So, like,
and the
you're
people,
saying.
And the people that have won cannot directly trace their victory to the use of his technique.
Right. So, you know, is it good knowledge to have? Yes. Is it good to point out the contradictions in law enforcement and the judicial system? Yes.
Yes.
Is it good to point out the conflict of interest in all of the parties involved in a court case? Yes, it's great. Is that ultimately going to help you win when the bureaucrats attack you?
Maybe.
Right? This is because you're right. They don't follow their own rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can make stuff up. Even in Ian Freeman's case, I was there. And the person that the prosecution tasked with figuring out how much tax Ian Freeman actually owed through his interactions on localbitcoins.com.
They didn't know.
No, they broke it down to the penny. But then the defense asked them this simple question, and they're like, okay, so based on the data you were given by the prosecution, you think that numerically a person doing this amount of transactions on this website would have this for their amount of income tax. But you know nothing else about the defendant, correct? And they were like, yeah. And like, so it is possible that he could owe nothing. And she's like, yes. But the jury, you know, they didn't care. Right. They convicted him anyway.
You have to prove without a shadow of a doubt, right?
Well, I mean, that was...
That should introduce doubt.
That is doubt, yeah.
That was doubt,
how do I
right?
know? Yeah.
Because, you know, they tried to make it sound like the church was illegitimate, which if you can prove that, good luck. If you can, then that also means that a whole bunch of other churches are also illegitimate. And also it calls into question the legitimacy of government, because it is a faith-based organization.
It's also why wealthy people set up foundations and nonprofits that they then transfer their own money to in the form of donations to lower their tax burden.
Right.
And they just pick it up on the other side with whatever activity they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Or sell art.
At an inflated price. Yeah.
Let's go over here to, I believe this is Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, are you with us?
Oh, yeah. I just want to say that I found the state display tables for my network marketing. So are you still with me?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
Tables for network marketing. Go.
So there's two outdoors metal tables with some chairs.
Metal, heavy metal.
Yeah, and then we're like, but I'm surprised that it's like between the library and the senior center, and we just set up a shop because the weather's nice. It's 75 degrees, 80 degrees. We just sit there, and then we just hand out cards and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm surprised. Is there a city ordinance where you can't do advertising at the city park? I'm surprised that they haven't ran us off already.
Well,
they ran us out of the library room.
I would just keep going. If they haven't done anything, just keep going. Hey, did you do your homework on the lithium mining?
Nice callback.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But see, but we had a library room, the meeting room. And then they said I could be there with the doors closed with a client explaining having our own meetings, but
yeah,
they said we're using it for a storefront, so that's not allowed. They throw us out because we had a welcome sign. For
you got
people
kicked
to
out
come
of the
in.
Library?
Being too
we were
loud.
Doing it out of the library because there was a room in the front.
Yeah.
So that's technically allowed, but we could have a meeting with a customer or enroll people inside the room, which
okay.
is...
Yeah,
kind of like I don't understand what the difference is. You know what I mean? Because So but it's like a closed meeting. Somebody, we had an appointment with them and had a, and we could actually enroll them over the credit card number and do paper, call them in from the room.
Maybe there's a difference between enrollments and sales. You can sign someone up for the business, but you can't sell product.
Right, right, right. But the thing is, what we did was that we didn't have anybody in there. We just had the welcome sign for people to wander in and ask us questions. So that's what they were mad about. That's not what in the policy. They said that I was using that for a storefront, where I'm not, I was not having the meeting with a client.
Because you weren't meeting with a client. You were waiting for walk-ins.
Right. So what is the what is so bad about it? We had the welcome sign and we put the...
Nothing's bad about it. It's just against their policy.
Yeah. I've never been kicked out of a library. That's pretty courageous.
Yeah, I've been pretty rebellious most of my life, and I've been kicked out of a variety of places.
But never
for,
a library.
But never a library for some reason, Sarah.
No, but I mean, the use of that room, they had 1, 2, 3 study rooms. You could have meetings there.
Yep.
But that was the criteria. I mean, a criteria. I could have a meeting with the doors closed. I could enroll them with paperwork. Over. I could do three-way calls to the company, enroll them with a credit card. They don't care. They just didn't want the people walking in, inviting people in to show them our products. And
yeah.
They said I was doing
storefront.
Use it as a storefront.
Yeah, got
it. I could do that. But here's the thing. I could do that at the little tables. The middle tables is about like a 3 feet diameter. I could have all my...
Sounds like you
there.
Solved your own problem.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Why is it if I'm in a city park, there's no laws against it? I mean, don't they have an ordinance for every
There might be.
Thing?
You got to check the local Albuquerque, New Mexico ordinances. Call an attorney.
I would just do it until you got kicked out.
Yeah. I would also take Steve's advice, you know.
Just do it, right? Just
as long as you're not being harassed, just continue on.
Well, that's it. That's my test, is that if somebody wants to come after me, but I'm not doing retail. I'm not selling, handing a product and collecting money for the exchange. I'm just giving information. I mean, they might get a sprinkle of some of that tea tree oil and a squirt of a lotion on their hands. But is that so? It's not retailing. I'm not retailing at the park, right?
Even if you were, you haven't been caught and busted and thrown out of the park yet. So just do it there.
You might need to get a license.
A busker's license.
Or like a busker's license or something like that. Like a
vendor
sales tax permit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, but they're always in a designated area. I mean, I have those places where they have it's like an outdoor, what you call a zoning. It's an outdoor market.
Yeah.
You're probably breaking several laws, Sarah, and I'm very proud of you for that.
Yeah, I think what I would do is I would just get a piece of paper, a nice piece of paper that says I can do what I want to do, and if anyone harasses you, just show them that piece of paper. Here's my license. I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And then just see what happens.
I didn't have a license, but you know what they do get after you about is the edibles. If somebody's in environmental health. If you're out at the farmer's market making candies out of your kitchen, cookies, muffins, at the farmer's, they will come after you because they want to track if somebody gets ill who is handling what food. You know what I mean? So, but we're not giving any edibles. I'm not doing any retail. So we're out there in the park and...
It's just a free sample, right? It's a free sample.
Well, they get sprinkles of, I sprinkle like, hey, this oil gets rid of your health of your insect bite. I sprinkle on them. Can I sprinkle your dog? And, you know, they get some sprinkles of some lotion.
I mean, it's a wonderful story, but if there's no concern and no problem, where are we going with this?
Let us know how it goes next Sunday.
Yeah.
Are you going back, Sarah?
Well, I think the weather's good tomorrow. We might be out there for an hour.
Right.
But you know what? There's always these people that complain and whine and moan.
You don't say.
Always
really?
Turn you in.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. What are those
I hate the ones that,
that
do that about cars and red light cameras.
We don't have cars. But they complain and they always have to turn you into the authorities. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, we hate that here.
Yep.
It's almost like you're speaking our language, almost.
You're preaching the choir.
Those people should mind their own business.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really hurting anybody. I just.
Whoa.
Whoa. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There was a study table that was like a frying pan. So it's like, there's other people communist. That got more shade, right? So it's like, well, that's the dirty ones. We had to clean up all the dry tomatoes. We went there. But you know what? What I found out is that nobody talks to us at the shady table either. They just kind of run away. And
if your table is
a shady table.
Yeah, if your table's shady, people don't like shady things.
No, but they didn't talk to you at the hot table. They don't talk to you at the shady table. They think you're just a scam and they run away.
Common denominator running through that thread.
Yeah. What is it?
Okay.
They just don't want to talk to her.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, but we'll
I was trying to be subtle, but since you put me on the spot.
All right, Captain. Sarah, feel free to call us and give us an update of what happens the next time, and try not to get kicked out of the library, but if you do, call us and tell us the story, okay? Sarah in New Mexico, everybody.
I wish her the best of luck this week.
Never thought I'd
get out there and sell.
Never thought I'd see the day where she was like, "Hey, you know these busybodies mm-hmm. that like
I know.
Just turn you into the authorities." Yeah. I'm like, "Whoa, hey!" Yeah.
It's a little different when they come after you, isn't
it? Yeah.
Suddenly she's starting to see things from our perspective. Yeah. Yeah. Because she's engaging in market activity.
Do we have a song for her?
We do not
have to.
Not yet, but you know. We'll see.
We'll make a list.
We'll see how much progress Richie Rich can make with his new AI friend.
I mean,
not the AI priest.
Captain is the recipient of it because, like, I share a sense of humor with the captain, and I don't know if I'm like overburdening him or not.
Not yet.
Okay. Let me know if it ever happens. Yeah, yeah. But like, I come up with the prompts and I listen to it and I go like, "Oh man, someone else needs to hear this." And the first person that comes to mind is the captain.
Yeah. Right.
So I send it to him. But I'm literally like sitting in my chair laughing out loud at how ridiculous these AI songs are.
Oh, it's great.
Totally. Yeah. No, and like the...
Even the seven words you can't say on the radio.
That one is fantastic. Oh, man, that is so fantastic. And like, I listen to that like just, you know, I'm not daily or anything, but I've listened to it several times because I'm like, man, I got to hear that song again because... Like, it's pretty good.
A band wouldn't come up with that. Right?
Well, a band could.
They
might,
but they didn't. AI did.
AI it's similar
based on
to,
my prompt.
Right. It's similar to an idea that I had for a song that contained the seven words, right? As a tribute to sort of Carlin and that mm-hmm. kind of a thing. But I've just never put it together, right? And so AI, Richie gets AI to do it, and it's probably better than, like, my idea. And I'm like, man, this is amazing. Now, this is, again, brings me back to what I don't like about AI because, like, that song, I'm like, well, okay, I guess I can retire permanently. You know, like,
you did text me that, yes.
Not that I mean, I am retired now. I mean, I still do music and that kind of thing. I doubt that I'll ever be permanently retired until, well, I'm permanently retired. You know what I mean? But, like, I'll still always be doing music of some kind.
It hurts my hands to pick up the guitar.
You know, I might not be releasing albums and EPs or stuff like that, but I'm still doing music, right? I still play. I do all that fun stuff. But what I don't like is that AI is, like, doing it for me.
Yeah, right? But I am not musically talented
at all. It's putting me out of
business,
too.
And
you don't
you
need
to mix,
mastered nothing.
You have put out a better anthem for the seven dirty words than I could have.
Okay. AI
and he didn't even do it.
Right. Yeah, I prompted it. I'll show you the prompt after the show and maybe play it, you know, after the show because you can't play it on this one.
No, you can't.
No, but, you know. We cannot play that on this show at all.
Here's a song you won't play.
But the point is, people like the captain are complaining, right, that AI, I'm still having to do my manual labor and AI is doing all the art for me.
Yeah, right, AI should be doing the labor, and I should be doing the art.
Right.
But I am not an artist at all.
Right.
I've got no talent. I've got
you
some...
Typed in the words.
You're a no-talent hack.
Yes, I'm absolutely a no-talent hack.
That song is great.
That song is great.
But AI allows for me to be an artist.
Yeah.
Whereas before this, I was not.
Right.
I now sort of am.
And as I understand it, most of the outputs of AI is free from copyright.
Okay.
So that, like, you know, if you're a business entity of some sort and you get AI to make music for you, some sort of a song, a jingle, something like that, you just go ahead and use it for all your business marketing, for all the things that you want to use it for.
So the website that creates it does not own it?
Correct.
I don't know that to be true. I don't know what their licensing
thing is. That's my understanding of how these things work is that it creates it and then it is copyright
free. It's public domain.
I didn't read the fine print.
I don't know if it's public domain or not. I'm just saying that at that point it's copyright free.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Richie Rich had a hand in creating this and that he could claim copyright. And until one of these things goes to court, I don't think we're going to find out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the when I do a parody song, if I put it on YouTube or something like that, the first couple of frames, I'll do like a lead in and it just says, you know, pursuant to subsection, disclaimer, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. This work is a parody. Right. And so people are like, you can't do that. It's illegal. Like they're usurped before they can even listen to the song. We're out of time. Thank you, Steve Classic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you to all of our callers. And, of course, you, our listeners, we appreciate you. If you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the Resources tab. Thanks and peace.
This is Mark Edge with Free Talk Live. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com is one of the best real estate agents I've ever worked with. I've been through about 24 real estate transactions in my life, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, but there's always the things that you don't know that you don't know. Mark Warden with PorcupineRealEstate.com found a problem with the house that I was buying that ultimately saved me $65,000. He's a consummate professional, holds his people to his own high standards, and I would unequivocally recommend him for any real estate purchase in New Hampshire. Don't sell yourself short. Contact PorcupineRealEstate.com.